on today's show.
Wow. How are you?
Let's do it.
Do it already,
Mr. Stern.
Howard welcomes back comedian, TV host, actor, and all-time prankster, Eric Andre.
Prostate karaoke.
The drugs. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have to shit.
Eric Andre, everyone. He's done it all. You're the
Howard history.
Hail! Yeah, huh? I'm all amped up. Eric Andre. That is one crazy motherfucker. I mean, for real. Like, he's crazy. I think he's crazy. He does
I still think of that photo with him and Emily.
Ratajkowski?
Yeah, when she was naked or something and he was lying on the couch in his apartment or something when they were together.
Valentine's Day, yeah.
Yeah, and I think to myself after watching the clips of the show, what was she doing with him? Was he like that at home?
Ma'am, I got to talk to him about that because I have a theory that he scored a really hot chick, and I think, like she said, this guy's too crazy for me. I mean, Eric is out there. I mean, the guys covered this with Eric Andre, who will be in later in the morning. But yeah, let me give you an example of how crazy he is.
If I can find it.
So, Eric turned 40. And if you don't know who Eric is, he does this very weird TV show that I'm into. It's only 12 minutes long. It's on TV. And, you know, most TV shows are at least a half hour, but he's like 12 minutes and the thing flies by and he just does tons of fucked up shit. Like I told you, he was blowing the Invisible Man this season. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good bit. And then he was eating the Invisible Man's asshole. And, but the Eric Andre show's on this channel called Adult Swim. I don't even know how to find it. I just record it. But anyway, Eric, like every year for his birthday, has a birthday party that he sells tickets to. It's a show.
Uh-huh.
And I got to ask him about this because I don't even know how he puts it together. It's like, how do I describe it? It's like this huge, crazy party where it was rented. There's a building. I know I'm having trouble describing it because I want to do a good job of this because it's nuts. We sent who covered it? JD and Blit, right? You guys went.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you describe that place?
So this was in a giant loft somewhere in Queens, and he completely revamped the place. There was a stage. There were different exhibits. It was like Mad Max on meth. It was a crazy interactive event.
Yeah.
It was next level shit. It was, you know, inspiration and execution. Something else.
Can I ask you something? Because I'm so fascinated by this. So like years ago when I was a young man, I used to go to Club Binet and I'd hold like a prom. For anybody who never went to their prom, it was a prom for misfits and we would do like this live show. I don't even remember what we did. It was just lots of dumb shit. But I couldn't have afforded at that point in my life or, you know, to like redecorate Club Binet.
No, we took everything and, as it was.
Yeah. I mean, Club Binet used to, you know, cook. It was a dinner setting. So you could have, you know, they had the tables. They served dinner. But I was responsible for the show. And I wanted to make a weird prom. But, I mean, it cost a fortune. On a one-off, it was a one-shot deal. It would have cost me a fortune. I would have lost money on the deal if I had put in everything I wanted for this fucked-up prom. But what you're describing is how many people could fit into this place?
There are like 3,500 people there, and Eric's been doing it for a long time. And he started really investing money after he sold his first season of the Eric Andre Show. That's when he had some money, so he started kind of really taking it to the next level, and he started building it and building it and building it.
So he owns that building, that loft?
No, he doesn't own the building. He just built the party. It got bigger and bigger at different locations. It was in LA.
But what I'm asking is, how do you figure, if 3,500 people is a nice crowd, and I don't know what he charges a ticket. Let's say he even charges, what does he charge? You guys know?
I think it was like 60, 70 bucks a ticket.
Okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
So 35, you guys are good at math. I mean, I'm really good at math, but I don't want to show off. If it's 3,500 people, it's $70 a ticket. Uh-huh. How much money does that generate?
A lot.
210 something.
Are you guessing or you know something?
No, well, sometimes 3 is 21, so.
I know that. But where, yeah, how but do you get the rest of it?
Where's the two. Other O coming from?
Well, yeah. They, and what's know. 7? And where'd you get the 7? Where'd you get the 3? All right, so let's say he makes $300,000, all right?
Yeah, $245,000.
Okay, $245,000. So if he generates $245,000, you've got to pay for the facility, which sounds like a big space.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's in Queens, so he probably gets a break, but not that big a break.
Yeah.
So I bet you just renting the venue's got to run him close to $100,000. So
I bet
already,
it's less. I bet the venue.
I don't think that.
I bet you the venue is $25,000 tops. Is what I think.
I think you're wrong. Then, okay, let's say you're right. You know what insurance right. on an event like this would cost? I'm just saying, I don't know how he's putting this together because when I describe this event, it's fucking nuts.
It was.
It was nuts. Oh, he has a promoter doing it, you know, as well. So then they you know, they prepared sponsors.
Oh, there were sponsors.
And
we,
you know,
we walk in, he was doing a photo shoot for Jimmy's, I forget what the sponsor.
It was a fast food kind of place, right?
Yeah.
And when we walked in, he was already on another planet. It was like, you know, he was there, but he wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, he puts together this thing, which I admire. I mean, the fact that he can put something like this together for his birthday every year. So he rents out this knockdown center in Queens, which is basically, like you guys say, a giant warehouse, packs in 3,000 people. The party gets set up like a music festival with a main stage, a bunch of smaller areas to check out. Mm-hmm. And then he has things like a torture room with people performing bondage and discipline. He's got naked guy covered in sushi laying there.
Yeah.
What do you do with him? Do you look at him or do you eat off him?
I mean, you could eat off him if you want to. JD was insulting to him and didn't eat off of him, which was I was a little bit offended by that because when there's a naked
guy. You told JD to eat some sushi off the guy and he wouldn't do it?
He should have, and the guy was offended. The guy is there, you know, with sushi on him, and JD was like, no, it's too good for him. So,
no, it was first of all, I wasn't hungry. Second of all, it was very awkward. I mean, he's sitting there. He's got like saran wrap wrapped around him so to separate his body and the sushi.
Sushi's not touching him, JD.
That's right. Yeah. I know.
It's just rude.
Was there soy sauce in his belly button you could dip in there?
on the side.
Were there, was he like a good looking dude, like a muscular dude, or was he like a black guy?
Not really.
Out of shape. Hairy. Hairy.
Bald with a beard.
That's Eric Andre. Were there tons of hot chicks there, or is it mostly dudes? It's got to be dudes, I bet.
There were a lot of cute girls.
JD said there were hundreds of hot girls that he saw. Hundreds, to quote JD.
JD's standards are a little strange. You know what I mean?
No, stop it. But there were a lot of people. A lot of people like to dress up as characters. You know, there were several people in the green like tight spandex suit as doing Bird Up.
Yeah,
any sort of character that they could.
There was a guy with a blow up doll there. JD made friends with him and the blow up doll. In fact, he danced with the blow up doll, humped it.
There was also a petting zoo with goats and sheep and outdoor wrestling rings for people who were stuck outside. That's why I say the insurance costs on this thing have to be huge because it looks like one big accident ready to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Fire eaters, contortionists, a priest taking confessionals in a bathroom stall, an inflatable ball pit, mosh pit, and lots of alcohol. It seems like a recipe for disaster, but anyway. So JD and John went to cover this thing that Eric put together, you know, this 40th birthday party. And we got some clips. So let's see what I got here. I'll play a couple of these and you guys can maybe fill in. You know what I mean?
Sometimes we walked around the damn place.
We were there for what? 12 hours? 14 hours? Oh, yeah, 12 hours.
Yeah. We were worried we'd have to be there all night into the next morning. Thank
God.
How long does this thing last?
Well, so on the flyer, it said going until 3, 4 a.m. or until like, you know, 7, you know, until sun comes back up. And Eric got on the stage and was like, who wants to watch the sun rise with me today? And I'm like, oh, man. No, I don't want
to. As soon as they arrived, John tried to take JD into the torture room. It was guarded by a large woman with a bullwhip. All right, let's not hear that.
JD.
What?
Let's go.
No, I don't need to be dominated.
Why not? You won't be dominated.
I don't want to be dominated.
You won't be dominated.
No. I don't want to be dominated.
You're not being dominated.
I don't want to whip. I don't want to be whipped either. You talk to them first. You talk to them first and you make sure it's okay. It's safe. I don't want to get whipped. I'm not getting whipped.
You're not going to get whipped.
I'm not even looking back here. We could get easily killed. I don't want to get whipped.
It's for your job.
And there's also security. There's a big person in the hallway, too.
You're allowed to go there.
I don't care. I'm not going back.
Come on. You got to be the first to go.
No, I don't.
It's for your job.
No, it's not for my job.
Be brave.
You guys have kind of a sub-dom relationship. Yeah. Like, you're always, like, torturing JD. You know what I mean?
In a nice way.
This person, they're like in an open area and they're just sort of walking around, just like whipping this thing around. They're not even looking in our direction half the time. And John's like, go. I'm like, I'm not going down there. They're just whipping this damn thing around, not even looking.
She was very intimidated looking. She was like 6'5" with this giant whip. It was chaos, like from the top.
Yeah. Then JD and Blit checked out the noise room at the Eric Andre birthday party. The room featured a group of performance artists making noise. They were screaming into microphones and dragging instruments on a concrete floor. Sounds like something they would do to you if you were a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay. Yeah. JD weirdly enjoyed it. Like it brought him peace or something here.
It did. He was the most relaxed.
The noise room. Why is JD laughing, Blit? Like, why?
Because he has a sense of enjoyment and love, and he's just brought peace from that chaotic, you know, intense, whatever that, I don't even want to call it noise.
Yeah, what's going on, JD?
I don't know about peace, but it was just funny. Like, a room like where these people were performing, and all the guy was doing was dragging like a trumpet on the floor and like miking it up, and I don't know. I thought it was funny to me.
I think it tickled his heart, it tickled his mind, it tickled his body, those noises.
I could have left JD there.
JD.
He should go on tour with them.
There was a security guy in the back that had to stand there to hold
them. Oh, my God.
I felt bad for him.
I feel like that's what JD hears in his head 24-7. Yes. You know what I mean? Yep.
Close.
Yeah, close.
What I was thinking is it sounds like that electronic music he liked.
Eric Andre kicks off the party with a musical performance by Eric and his 8-piece funk band called Snack Time. By the way, Eric is actually a pretty accomplished musician. He was
really?
I don't know if he went to Juilliard or one of
Berkeley.
Those. Like Berkeley. Berkeley School of Music, which is impossible to get into. He was a bass player. So, Eric hit the stage. He was carrying a giant tank of nitrous. With a nitrous filled balloon and a tiki drink. He took hits off the balloon while he addressed the crowd. What a maniac.
We got a lot of drugs flowing through the fucking ether tonight, everybody. These are balloons I'm blowing up for a party later. See the priest in the toilet yet? Did you guys confess your sins to the priest in the toilet? We are handing out ketamine prescriptions in the bathroom tonight. It is therapeutic. Every drug here tonight is therapeutic. We're going to process all our traumas tonight. There's going to be a physiological change. You will be self-actualized. Everybody will leave here like the Dalai fucking Lama tonight. Come on!
He's got that crowd going.
Just give them a snack time, everybody. They're playing their tits off up here. Come on!
Snack Time is the name of his band.
Yeah, anytime you heard that his voice go deep, that's whatever.
That's the nitrous. That's the nitrous.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, he can't make any money on this gig. The insurance loan. I mean, if I was the insurance underwriter, I'd jump off the roof.
Well, maybe he just tells the insurance, it's just a concert. No, that's it. We'll just
they never come and check, do they?
Yeah. No.
Then to add to the chaos, Eric invites everyone in the audience to join him on stage.
This was insane. This was a nightmare for security, for everyone involved. Like, I mean, it was pure chaos perfection, you know?
You know, I once was doing a live show 100 years ago at the Nassau Coliseum. And Leslie West, we invited him to play a song or two. And he gets up and he goes, come on, everybody. In other words, come to the stage. And like, it's the most dangerous thing because people can surge forward. Fortunately, we had a lot of police and stuff, and that was, there was a stop put to it. But
yeah,
I can't just have people. He's crazy. Here he is inviting everyone on stage.
Money.
Oh, and first he tells the crowd that Donald Trump just died.
Oh, my God.
Money, I'm going to open his head. Donald Trump just died. Did you guys hear that? Donald Trump just died, everybody. He finally died. He died. I called him this morning. He's like, I'll die for you. Hey, who wants to come on stage? Come on up. Anybody who wants to come up here? Just come
anybody.
On up. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be shy. Don't let these barriers break us. Those barriers represent the old regime. Those barriers represent division. And what I see...
I mean, he's crazy.
Dude, yeah. The people were swarming. It looked like, what was that movie with, World War Z with all the zombies coming? It was all these people jumping on stage. And then Eric, he ended up, finally, they cleared the stage. And Eric didn't know where... I heard Eric ask where his nitrous tank was. I'm not sure if he found it or not.
You know, after that, the crowd ran off
with his nitrous tank?
I don't know. But he was asking where it was. Because he disappeared. All you saw were these people up on the stage, and Eric was just like, you couldn't.
You know what I love about his show? He says, everybody come up on stage. They come up, and then they spend the rest of the night trying to clear the stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The promoter.
Now that's a show.
You're not kidding. Hey, this is a pretty good show. Now they're trying to clear the stage.
The promoter after that came up to him and was like, if you do that again, we're canceling this right now. I'm shutting the entire thing down. I mean, it really was insane. Everyone was on his stage.
Yeah, and once he got off the stage, he did a little more. He jumped off the stage, did like a
crowd surfing,
and like they put him on the ground. And as he's walking out, the whole crowd just follows him. It was it was crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a fun version of the January 6th insurrection. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In an exclusive, John and JD interviewed Eric Andre after his big set on stage.
Yeah.
And Eric was in full party mode. He is out of his fucking mind.
Okay, we gotta give the boss man Howard some fucking taste bits. Okay. You guys are gonna get fired.
Jason Kaplan lost 100 pounds. I gotta look good.
What do you need me to say?
Dental grade nitrous?
No, I got like automotive nitrous. The shit was sodium benzonate in it and shit.
How's the show going so far?
I might not make it past tonight. What do you want to know? AMA, ask me anything.
How are you feeling? What is the feeling right now?
All my orifices are wide open.
Yes, I've seen you offered yourself to many women.
Yeah, I always offer you all my holes. I know you don't wash your bed sheets, but I offer you all my holes. The guy's got to clean up his act. It's your night.
No, it's your night.
No, I'm your wingman. I'm here to set you up. What do you need? Ketamine?
I'm not doing anything. I had
no.
It.
We're gonna drug you tonight.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, we gotta drug you tonight. No. Anybody can hear me? Drug JD tonight. Just give him whatever he doesn't want. Give it to him.
Were the girls, the hot girls, impressed that you had access, JD, to the big star, Andre?
I don't know. I wasn't really, you know, there were people up there and like looking at us, but I don't know if they were exactly impressed. They weren't.
The girls going wild over JD?
Yes,
John?
Lots of Harmeyer heads at this event. We got stopped constantly. We were doing Ask Me Anything in real life with JD.
It was my guys.
No, the girls were looking also, 100%.
Okay.
Eyes were on JD.
Uh-huh.
You too. Thank you.
Eric, as you know, is a big fan of the show. In the middle of his big birthday party, he had messages for various members of the staff. So here you go. This is always exciting.
Meghan Markle's going to peg me tonight. Where are my manners? We'll be fucked up. He's an unprofessional asshole. And if he was professional, he'd be here covering this. But because he's lazy, he's not here.
You have a message for Jason Kaplan.
Jason Kaplan, I want you to get big again. I don't like skinny Jason Kaplan.
You have a message for Sal.
Sal wanted to rip his fucking hair plugs out and fucking just respect who he is.
You have a message for Richard Christie.
Richard Christie, Kansas City, fucking sucks. Fucking hate that place.
You have a message for Robin Quivers.
Robin Quivers is a beautiful queen that I would make passionate love to if she wasn't secretly my mother.
You have a message for Fred Norris.
Fred is a genius and I want to play every sound effect in my fucking mind forever and ever. Shout out to Fred.
I'm telling you, Eric's a genius. He's a mad genius.
Yeah,
I enjoy
him
very much.
He's definitely mad.
What else went on at this big birthday? Eric sang on stage through the night. The singing was more like screaming, especially when he didn't know the words. Here's a montage of some singing from Eric Andre.
Understand that we're fortress. Understand that we're crosses.
That's the Rage Against the Machine song.
Good for you, Robin. Yeah, you got me on that one.
He got some romantic songs in there. He did Kiss from a Rose and
let me see. Let's see.
Understand that we're fortress. Understand that we're crosses.
Oh yeah. Who does that again? Since you've been gone, yeah. Hey, yeah, I like that.
I want you guys to mosh. Fucking open up the pit, baby.
When he wakes up the next morning, it must be insane.
Yeah. He probably slept for 3 days after that.
I don't know why I'm playing this now. I should have played this while he was there, but while he was here, rather, which is not till 9 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, his band kicks ass. They sound pretty good.
Snack Time was fucking great. They were good. They know like almost every song you could think of, they fucking played.
What's it cost the ticket again? Is the whole band high or just Eric?
I think it was mainly Eric.
Eric,
everybody
Andre.
Else has to be professional.
What a party. You know what? This sounds like kind of like when we used to do the proms over at Club Binet, but
oh, and they were
on
crazy.
Steroids.
I mean, yeah. that was one of the scariest nights I ever had was at one of those proms. I was like,
but Eric, like,
I don't know if we're safe.
Eric took it to a whole new level. I remember we were doing the fake prom and we were Club Binet and they were serving dinner and this one guy gets up who's dressed up as a woman and then some other dude has high, like 10-inch high heels and they take the high heel and stick it up the guy's ass.
Yeah.
Just jammed it in his ass and I went,
I was speechless.
I'm pretty sure this isn't how, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld got started.
I was like, is that even safe? Is he going to hurt that guy's ass? That's a pretty spiky high heel.
Dude, people used to go nuts. Eric, this is...
Eric embraces the chaos. He had like a Prince impersonator, a George Clooney impersonator, and like they're waiting on the side of the stage. And we were asking them, you know, what are you supposed to do on stage? And they go, we don't know. Eric just told us to be here.
Yeah. So. There's a guy, we're waiting. a guy walking around saying he was the mayor of Queens. And he stayed in character the entire time, just not knowing what to do.
Oh, yeah. He had him puking in garbage cans.
The mayor of Queens.
It's your worst nightmare, like- Howard.
Yeah, no, it sounds actually like fun. You know, like when I'm in, we used to do, but I mean, Eric's completely insane. I mean, but the prom was pretty nuts that we would throw. It was pretty crazy. Plus, we'd serve dinner.
Yeah, dinner and then there'd be food fights. I mean, it was like crazy. It was really people out of control.
That's why I'm trying to figure out how he financed. How many people would fit in Club Binet? I don't remember. Probably maybe 1,000.
Wow.
Maybe. 1,000. Mm. And we would do 4 proms in a weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And but, be happy I mean, we got out alive. That was...
Yeah.
Were you doing nitrous? Weird. Were you doing nitrous in between the shows?
Nah, I'm not a drug guy, so we didn't do any of that. No. Eric's way out. I mean, I'm an amateur compared to Eric.
Oh, we talked to him again.
You didn't even drink at that time, Howard.
No.
We were talking to him later in the night, and like he was like sort of pacing around. Like I had to hold him still so we could like hold the mic up to him to talk to him again.
Very wobbly.
Very wobbly.
Listen to this. Eric closed the show by pulling down his pants, tucking his dick between his legs, and singing the Reading Rainbow theme song on stage. So picture him with his naked, with his dick stuck between his legs.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that son of a bitch loves showing his dick off. I wish I had a big dick. I could do that too.
Well, he doesn't show his dick exactly. He tucks it between his legs before anyone can see it. He did it once at the beginning and then once at the end.
It's a mangina. It's his revert.
Yeah, well, but he has the freedom to do it because he knows if shit goes wrong, people are going to see a big, thick dick. You know what
that
I mean?
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a dick. I don't got a dick. I don't got it. I don't got it. I can't do that to Snack Time. They're from Philly. They're going to mug me after the show. You want the Buffalo Bill? I can't do that in front of Artie. I grew up in him. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
What a maniac. John and JD had a few moments to chat with Eric later in the night.
Yeah.
He had to be pretty fucked up by now.
This is when I was like having to sort of hold him in place a little
He's
bit.
He's on another planet.
Okay.
What do you have in store for 40?
A quick and swift death. You got any pills in your pockets? JD needs to wash. Needs to wash his ass.
How was it crowd surfing?
It was fucking hell on earth. I don't think I could ever do that again.
Were you getting groped? Were you getting groped?
I got probed. I got jerked off. I got fingered. I was one man's personal fucking sock puppet.
That sounds like a birthday party.
Yeah, it was wild. Did you see the guys getting fisted? Come on, Blit. I'm fucked up.
I know.
You know, in all seriousness, I don't want to get too heavy with Eric, but I am going to talk to him about, you know, he's 40. He's still a young man. He's got his health. I read the most depressing, a couple of days ago, I read this thing in the New York Times about this woman, brilliant woman, like was a law student, blah, blah, blah. When she was around 18 or something like that, her heart was enlarged and they had to give her a heart transplant. So this woman ended up having 2 heart transplants, and the heart transplants wasn't fucking her up. It was all the drugs they give her so her body won't reject the heart.
Right.
Side effects from the drugs gave her cancer. And she was writing this whole story about how it's such a shame because the heart was good. It's the side effects of the drugs. Reminds me of what Robin and I talk about a lot in private. You know what I mean, Robin? So
yeah.
you know, about the medications and things you have to take in order to stay alive if you have a medical issue. And so I was reading this thing with fascination. And today, just today, I read her obituary. I was so sad. She died. Yeah. And she had written this article saying, look, I'm going to die in a few days, but I just want to make you aware of what's going on. And I hope they can develop better drugs for transplant people and blah, 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 blah.
I think I read that same article. So she died.
She died. Yeah. Her obituary's in the paper today. I woke up early and read the paper. Oh. And so it was like, and when I was listening to Eric Andre and all, I think Eric's brilliant and funny and he makes me laugh every time. He's just so fun. But the guy does abuse his body. Reminds me of like my conversations with Johnny Knoxville. I love Johnny, but he, you know, sometimes I think these guys have a death wish.
Well, that's exactly what I thought about when I was watching the clips. I was like, this is like the Jackass guys only taking up a notch. I mean, he's running into walls and throwing himself around, blowing himself up.
And I'm like, you know, I don't want anything bad to happen to Eric, but it is funny. I have to admit. So I have like, I'm torn, like, he's killing himself, but it is hysterical, right, JD? I mean, you're cracking up when you're talking to him.
It's funny to me. Yeah, I guess you know, you also have to think about living in the moment, and you know, we only get this one life, that sort of thing. He's just really? Living life too. He's living his best life. So
I know, you know, but
God bless him. Know.
All right,
but JD's going to perform next.
Shut up,
what? Blit. JD's going to perform at Andre's next birthday party as JD Morrison. We've been rehearsing. It's going to be great.
But see, you don't know what Eric feels like after this. I would
that's
like
the
to
point.
Know
that's true. That's true.
That. What does the I recovery think, look like?
I'm going to talk to Eric when he comes in a way I shouldn't even be talking about it now. But I was thinking about, you know, early on in my career, I felt like you do anything you have to do for a laugh. And then you get a little bit older and wiser and you go, well, maybe I didn't have to do everything for a laugh. You know what I mean? Plus, you know, I got to talk to him about nitrous and stuff because I know people think it's okay to do because the dentist gives you laughing gas. But at the same point, what it's doing is actually reducing oxygen flow to the brain. See, I think things through too much maybe, but it can lead to a lot of organ damage. And
yeah, well, I think if people knew what they were actually doing, it's not just, oh, I get high when I do this. No, that's brain cells dying.
Yeah, that's nasty business.
They might not do it.
Mm-hmm. And he's so quick and sharp and funny and so many funny. I mean, who else could come up with blowing the invisible man and then eating out his asshole? So anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing Eric later on in the show, and I do want to celebrate the guy because I do love him. I think he's funny as fuck. Anyway, okay, boys, good job covering that. By the
Thank
way, speaking of weirdos and strange occurrences, I see Stefan. I didn't ask him to call him, but there he is. Hey, Stefan, that's the guy we found at Fist Fest. Fist Fest makes Eric look like a piker.
It's a one act, you know, like everything is fist up the ass, you know.
Hey,
it's
you
one
know what?
Thing.
If the act works, don't knock it. Hey, Stefan, what's hey Wolfie? Talk to me about why Stefan's on the phone. What's going on? What do you know? Wolfie's a big Stefan expert. If you remember, Stefan's the guy. Stefan, when Wolfie first met you, it was years ago, and guys were putting their fists way up your asshole to the point that they could touch your heart.
Howard, this is a different guy, actually. So,
who's this guy?
So Stefan did recently attend Fist Fest, where he accomplished something known as the Chariot, which, Stefan, you could explain to Howard what that is.
What's the Chariot, Stefan? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I went to Fist Fest and had a great time. So the Chariot is, so like, imagine the visual of the Chariot of a person out with their arms stretched out and they're like driving the Chariot, but on each arm is inside a guy's asshole. So you're like fisting two guys at the same time and you're doing it in a way that looks like a Chariot. Not to be confused with doubling, which is just getting two hands inside the same guy. This is like fisting two different guys.
Wolfie, I don't mean to be naive, but I'm not really following. Can you clear it up for me?
So basically, if you stuck your arms out in front of you like fist, Stefan had two guys on each fist. His fist was in their asshole. But in addition to Fist Fest, Stefan has a very specific fetish that I think you might be interested in learning about. Stefan, what do you call it?
So I'm a cum dumpster. At Fist Fest, I'm usually a total top, but outside of that, I just like kicking a bunch of guys' loads.
So he said,
I'm out of this. Wolfie, can you give me the cliff notes to what we're talking about here? What's a cum dumper?
So Stefan is a cum dump. Basically, he will arrange a session where over the course of a couple of hours, just random guys off the street will come into a hotel room, fuck him in the ass, and then drop a load in his rectum. He told me that the record in one night was 32 different guys came into his ass.
Jeez. Hey, aren't you, Fred and I have dabbled in this, but I, you know, Stefan, aren't you worried about AIDS still and all that kind of thing with like strangers walking in and dumping cum in your ass?
No, not at all. Most of the guys are either undetectable, which means they don't transmit HIV, or they're on PrEP. And then you can also take doxycycline, which is an antibiotic, as a prophylactic for other STIs. So there isn't really a risk of that at all.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty high risk.
I don't know
risk,
if a doctor would say that.
I guess I'm a buzzkill, but I tend to think, you see, again, you can't fuck with your health. You know, I mean, I read this woman's story. Do you think, Stefan, it's kind of like a death wish in a way to have that many guys blow a load in your asshole?
No, I mean, I am HIV positive and I'm undetectable. So like there's scientifically no way for me to transmit the virus. And that's all news from my doctor. So I feel pretty safe.
So you are HIV positive. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you tell the dudes ahead of time when they're dumping their load into you?
Yeah. So usually if I'm doing this at like a hotel or something like that, I'll put an ad up online and the ad will have like the hotel information, the time to come by. Have my status. I mean, I'm pretty open about my status and all hookup apps. But there's also other parties like Horse Market, which are meant for like cum dumps. And at Horse Market, you're either a mare or a stallion. And if you're a mare, you're there just to get fucked. And you either wear a red hood or a white hood. And a red hood means you're looking for a bareback, and a white hood means you're condom only.
She's a lot
to
know.
And are you condom only or bareback?
He's bareback.
He's bareback only.
His thing is getting a lot of loads in his ass. And then let's say you get 30 loads in your ass, what do you do then, Wolfie?
I mean, Stefan knows. I think he just kind of carries it around with him for a while. I don't know how you clean that out.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's possible to like keep them inside and like let them like slowly leak out while you're like going about your day. Some other dudes that are like, their fetish is felching, and they like to just come and eat all the cum out of your ass.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he describes this as felching?
Felching, yeah, Robin, when you eat the cum out of my ass. If you want to get into it with me.
Stefan explained to me that this whole act is kind of like sport fucking, the goal is to take as many loads as you possibly can. It's like an endurance test.
Hey, Stefan, does your shit ever look like toothpaste?
Actually, yeah. Sometimes after a long night, when you have your first shit, it kind of looks like it's encased in cum.
Mm. So let me take a wild guess. You're not worried about COVID, right?
I'm vaccinated and have like 4 boosters, so not currently, no.
Nice. All right, well.
Hey, Stefan, the other thing that you said from Fist Fest that I thought was fascinating. Tell Howard about that specific toy that you guys were using.
I saw a bunch of like huge toys there, but a lot of guys there had like really big either dog dicks or like horse dick dildos.
Wow.
Dog dick dildo?
The dog is actually like the smaller one, but like some guys were running around with like big porch stick dildos that just were like plowing each other and like until the point like that the rosebuds were popping out.
And what
you
about
really, you really love anal, man. I'll tell you that. It's like your life.
I've, I finally heard of something I don't think you have, Howard.
Right,
Stephen.
What was the fetus toy that you told me about?
Oh, okay. So that's actually my favorite toy. It's this silicone butt toy that's shaped like a baby fetus, and you can like put that into a guy like all the way, and then watch him like slowly push it out like the dude's giving birth.
Oh, nice. So you can go through childbirth. How exciting. You know, finally, someone's invented something useful so men can experience. You know, because women always hold that. They go, you don't know how painful childbirth is. And then Stefan goes, yes, I do.
We even dyed the lube red just to make it a little extra gory and fun.
Ah, what the fuck, man?
How do you feel after 32 guys have shot a load into you?
Well, I can answer that, Robin. Yeah. In other words, you know when you went to karate class and at some point after many years, you get your black belt?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It's like, wow, I just got my black belt in butt fucking today and I really feel...
Ass juice.
What's going on in your asshole? I mean, does shit just plop out? Because you must have lost all elasticity, right?
No, I still have some elasticity. I mean, I clean out pretty thoroughly before. I have a whole clean out routine that involves like coffee. And then once you do, if you take some Imodium, that will kind of like slow your digestion and keep your butthole clean for a couple hours. You can go out nice. There.
And do you have a rosebud?
Do I ever? No, I'm working on it. I wish I did. Those are
what's oh. that, Robin? What's a rosebud?
Oh, Aaron, you don't want to know.
What the fuck are we talking about? How do you? What the hell, rosebud?
That's the actual anal prolapse. Like it's a. It looks like a rosebud when it pops out. Actually, your intestines like coming out of your body.
You want that, Stefan? That's your goal?
I want like a baby rosebud. I don't need like a massive one. I just nice. Want like a baby one.
Howard, so when you take like 32 loads in your ass, how many days does your butthole leak after something like that? You know what I mean?
Usually about a day. I remember one time I like came home and like, I mean, you get used to all the cum being inside of you and I forgot that it was there and I went to bed and I woke up to like pee in the middle of the night and like farted and I went back to sleep. And then when I woke back up in the morning, like, I guess it like blew out a bunch of cum on the bathroom floor. Oh,
So like when you fart, it's like one of like Spider-Man's webs coming out of your ass.
Yeah, it could be projectiles sometimes.
No, I know. Fred describes the same thing after I'm done with him.
Howard, they get super creative with this stuff. Like, Stefan told me that one time he fisted this guy that was dressed up in a Spider-Man costume. And Stefan was dressed as Venom, so he used black lube so it looked like that symbiote nice. Fluid pouring out of the guy's ass.
Cool. Well, 32, let's congratulate Stefan. I mean, to me, it's irresponsible behavior with all the HIV and everything, but it was his goal to get 32 loads. And to put that into perspective, that's almost three entire football teams of loads in his ass. I mean, that's quite something. What do you want, Ralph? I'm in the middle of an exclusive interview with Stefan.
Yeah, I have a quick request. Could you just please stop it? This is fucking vile, and it's way too early. Grow up. Sticking babies up your ass.
Like you don't want that. Come on.
Have him on around 3. Have him on around 3 o'clock.
I don't know. Stefan makes Eric Andre's birthday party seem like a tea party.
What's wrong with you? I mean, like, what the fuck? Like,
What, does right, Stefan have a regular job? I mean, is he like an executive at a Fortune 500 company or something?
He actually used to be in the Trump administration. He had a high level gig. Yeah,
he's actually an attorney.
Wow, cool, Stefan. Nice.
Yeah. I'm an attorney, and I forgot to mention the whole reason I was at this fest was because I was doing a book reading there. Do you mind if I plug my book, Howard?
Go ahead. Plug your book.
Yeah. So my book is called Blue Movie. I used to do porn under the name Blue Bailey, and the book talked about fisting, being a cum dump, and a bunch of other gay shit, and it's available at Unbound Edition Press.
Hold on, Stefan. People are interrupting my exclusive interview with you. Hey, everybody. It's Dice Man. Hey, Dice.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Yeah, listen, I thought I was fucking experimental. These guys are giving birth out of their fucking assholes. Their small intestines are exploding with gum. It's fucking crazy.
Hey, you know what else, Dice? Attorney by day, cum dump by night. Pretty impressive.
Unbelievable. This guy's got the hottest working asshole in America. I bet it's golden. I bet it's golden. Looks like somebody shot a fire extinguisher off in a butcher shop. I mean, 32 fucking loads. Do the math. That's gold medal numbers. I've known some real loose fucking whores in my day, but none of them could hit those fucking levels. It's crazy.
Can you imagine, Dice, a man puts an ad in the paper, and next thing you know, there's 32 dicks and loads in his ass. It's quite frankly amazing. And
can you imagine licking his ass when he farts? It's like a clown throwing a pie in your face.
Oh, pie, yes. But I didn't think, you know, newspaper ads and stuff worked anymore. I'm really impressed with it.
Yeah, who reads the newspaper? A lot of people read the newspaper, it turns out.
Stefan told me he was doing like a film shoot one time, and they had to have a whole bunch of load, but I guess guys can't make that much load. So he's convinced that the producer got a jar of actual pig semen, like from live pigs, and they poured it into his ass.
Wow. Yikes. Well, there you go. Okay. Stefan, I guess congratulations, but I feel it's irresponsible to say that. Dice, thank you. Okay, pal.
No problem. One more. A lawyer in a gum dump. He puts the cock in Johnny Cochran. Ow!
He's got a million of them. Wow. Wow, Stefan. It's wild what you say. Oh, my God. Hold on.
Who's that?
Oh, my God. Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida is here.
Huge problem, Howard. This is the exact definition of woke. This is what's going on at Disney World every single day. The liberals want to do cum dumps in front of our first graders. And this is tame next to the guy who plays Goofy felching our young. And this is what happens when you say gay. This is what our children think.
Governor, I got to tell you, you're in full mode now. I hear you. You're really campaigning. I think you're going to announce any day now the way you're
going off. I'm campaigning very hard. This is the America Joe Biden wants, Howard. I want to see a video of this man getting cum dumped him so I can better learn how to avoid it.
Are you afraid that if Joe Biden wins another 4 years, that there'll be cum dumping on every street in America?
Every street in America is going to have a load on it. It's going to be glazed with
like a donut.
32 men are going to be cum dumping every single day in every single street in America. And it's a slippery, slippery slope, slippery with cum.
All right. Thank you, Governor. All right. There's the governor. He says this is dangerous. But Stefan, okay.
Do you ever ask yourself, though, what is wrong with men?
Oh, I ask myself that every day. I'm working on a book. My thesis, I'm going for a PhD in that. Yeah, no, there's something very wrong. If you believe that this world is a complete accident, you know, unless you're a religious person, you believe that this was just all an accident.
Yeah.
And by some bizarre chance in this entire universe, there was a star that was as close to the planet and the moon was in the right position. And then the earth was formed, and there was hot molten lava, and then there was this, and then that, and then this, and then that. And then you get to 2023, and what did it all mean? So guys could take 32 loads in their ass. That's it.
This accident happened.
Robin, that's the absurdity of it all. This entire accident, this planet,
was formed so a man could put an ad in the newspaper and get 32 loads in a day. That's called the Big Bang Theory. You know why they call it the Big Bang?
Because,
oh, we're getting banged in our ass.
Wow.
You think a loving God was behind all that? Who knows? You never know. Stefan, thank you, and good luck with the book.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What? I don't know. It's enough. Maybe Ralph's right. Oh. Wolfie covers this stuff.
I don't know. I sometimes think we ought to follow Wolfie.
What's
he's
that,
exposed to an awful lot, Howard. How do you not get affected?
Well, you know, we have an excellent HR department here at Sirius, and they test Wolfie every single month. It's a monthly test to make sure he hasn't gone off the deep end like that. That movie where you go deep into the jungle and find Marlon Brando, and he's fucking nuts.
Right. Well,
you got a good job, Wolfie. What'd you used to do? I forget. Before I hired you.
Corporate America. I was working in the travel industry.
It's much better doing this, isn't it?
This is a lot more fun.
Fuck yeah. That's why the guys always say, Howard, don't retire. Don't retire.
Howard, they want me to tell you the story real quick. So before you guys hired me, I was at a corporate dinner, and it was like 30 people, and my boss is sitting across the table from me, and he was like, Bob, he's like, do you like comedy? And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, do you listen to the Howard Stern show? And like, I had been working for you for like years at that point. So I was like super nervous, like sweating. Like, I thought he was like setting me up to maybe like trap me in some way. So I like left the table. I called my wife and I was like the gig's up. This guy knows. And now he's like testing me. So I when we got back to the hotel that night, I had to pull him aside and like, hey, you know, there's a reason that I listen to the Howard Stern show. And at one point he said, he's like, you sound like this guy Wolfie from the Howard Stern show. And I said, well, you know, there's a reason for that. And then like, he looked like he saw a ghost and he's like, holy shit. He's like, I'm so fucking stupid. And yeah, that's the night I had to explain to him what I was kind of doing on the side.
It sounds to me like the guy was actually impressed with your, you know, this secret job you had.
Yeah.
Oh, you're moonlighting.
He was a huge fan of you. Mm. And this all happened like on a Friday. And he said, you know, I'm going to have to talk to HR about it.
So
like,
I had
that whole weekend and I was like, oh, man, I'm getting fired. Monday morning, I'll get this call. Monday came, no call. Tuesday came, no call. I eventually called him and I just said like, hey, I need to know like what's going on. He's like, I thought about it. He's like, you've been working here, I think at that point for 8 years. I don't even know how I would explain this to anybody. He's like, you're good. just, you know, like I.
I got to tell you, our top sales guy also covers the cum dump every year. All right, Wolfie.
And I mean, the funny thing is he knew Wolfie's last name and he's saying, yeah, you sound like that guy, Wolfie.
Yeah.
You sound like him and your last name is Wolf. I'm starting to put the pieces together.
Matlock.
Wolfie, we dodged a bullet. HR loved the cum dump expose. You're okay. You can work in the travel industry. Shit. It's all so funny. I saw a really hot item in the newspaper, too. Emily Ratajkowski she's like ready. You know, her husband left her, or she left him because he cheated. But I was reading this whole saga, and you know how hot she is. I think she's super hot.
She's beautiful.
And so she has announced she wants to, you know, be in a deep relationship, except with a woman. And I went, oh, fuck, that's hot.
Oh.
I mean, yeah.
She's tired of men?
Yeah.
I want to put it out there that if Emily Ratajkowski wants to come on again, I would set up a dating game with three hot chicks.
There you go.
That's our next big dating game. People love that Sam's mom dating game. I think we should.
You know, I think us talking about the Sam's mom date and then pulling it off got kicked ABC in the butt because now they're promoting the Golden Bachelor.
Woo!
I saw a big thing about the Golden Bachelor this morning on TV.
I don't know if I'm going to watch that. I mean, maybe I'll check it out. I don't know. I'm a Bachelor guy, but I don't really, you know. I my generation's all fucked up. Baby boomer. I'm a boomer, you know. And I knew in my heart when I was a kid and going to like Vietnam War protesters, I said, when my generation gets in power and like we're in charge, we're going to fuck everything up. And sure enough, we have. Because the people I knew anyway were a bunch of lazy fucks who were like really fucked up people. And then, you know, spoiled and shit. And sure enough, baby boomers are just the fucking worst. You know, you used to have politicians who could hold shit together. Now we're in power, and I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. So I didn't have much hope for my generation. As, you know, human beings, as adults, and then eventually parents. I knew they'd all fuck it up. And they have. I mean, let's be honest. So anyway, now the boomers, you know, I don't know if it's whether people are living too long or what, but, you know, now you have like 81-year-old people on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and, you know, it's crazy. That's nuts. We're supposed
it's like,
to just...
the boomers are ants. They invade everything. Like, you
gotta now they've invaded... they've invaded my perfect Bachelor world, you know? I love The Bachelor. Just leave it alone. We don't need a senior Bachelor. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was so fucking hot.
Thinking about Emily and her wanting a deep relationship with a woman.
You know who dabbles in that? Miley Cyrus sometimes. I could maybe, that would be a hot little couple. Emily Ratajkowski and Miley Cyrus.
The panel, huh?
Yeah. Hey. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get some players. Maybe even that Anita we had from Miami. Get her in there.
Oh, yes.
Anita. And like Bella Thorne, maybe I could get.
Wow.
You really
that would
hot.
Be one red hot dating game.
Kristen Stewart. I mean, I don't know Emily Ratajkowski.
Isn't she engaged? And
who cares?
Kristen is off the market.
I think if Kristen Stewart hears that Emily Ratajkowski is a potential girlfriend, she'll call off that engagement. That's what I think. Emily Ratajkowski said in an article, quote, "I would love to date a woman waiting for the right one to come along. I've always been someone who's more attracted to vibe than specifics of physicality." Yeah, trust me, I've heard that. Most women who date me are into vibe.
I think that it translates to sick of dick.
Yeah, I think she's at it with men. Notice the last guy she dated was Eric. I don't know what he did. But vagina pussy.
Vagina pussy.
Absolutely, honey.
Pussy.
Right. You got that right. Anyway, she doesn't care if man or woman, and I think that's hot. How about Rachel Maddow and Emily Ratajkowski? That would be some couple.
Well, Rachel's in a long-term relationship. I don't know.
Shit changes. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how those long-term relationships. I bet Emily Ratajkowski could learn, you know, wreck a few long-term relationships.
Pussy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My mother-in-law is going to freak out. Burger King closing 400 locations.
I heard that.
Wow.
John
probably
is very happy. He hates Burger King.
My mother-in-law loves Burger King. Like, she'll go out of her way. Yeah, she just loves Burger King more than, like, if she's in the mood for fast food, more than McDonald's. Or I've talked to her about it. She's something about Burger King. But when you talk to John Hine, he's like, hey. He's bragging this morning. He's like, hey, I predicted it. Burger King's not that good.
What did you make of it? You've been telling him for years. Yeah.
Look at the smile on that man's face. Oh, that's not a smile. That's gas. John, what were your thoughts on this very start? Here, I'll read it to you. Burger King drops 400 stores this year. Yeah, I guess that's the big story.
Yeah. Look, it's tough times all around for everybody out there, but it didn't surprise me at all that Burger King was losing 400 restaurants. Again, the quality control just isn't there. I've always said that, and now they're paying the price. And I'm thrilled, but I feel bad for your mother-in-law.
Is it your theory that the people they hire at Burger King haven't kept the standards high, or is it just the corporate isn't providing the right food mix?
It's a little bit of both. I think that, you know, any franchisee's got to run their place the way that it needs to be run. And I think a lot of times there isn't enough corporate saying, this is what you need to do, this is how you do it. And I also think some of the menu items and other things they offer just don't appeal to a lot of people out there. Like, there's no good reason to go to Burger King versus these other places. And then when you go in there, a lot of times people will have bad experiences and it carries over.
Why wouldn't they just copy McDonald's in the sense that, like, if McDonald's is doing so well, what is the difference between McDonald's and Burger King? That's what I don't understand.
That was their original plan, actually. As I wrote in my book, Fast Food Maniac, they would follow McDonald's. If McDonald's came out with chicken nuggets, they would come out with chicken something, which was smart. And they were the number two for a long time. There's a lot of other competition out there now who does a better job, like Wendy's and other franchises. And when you look at it, it just doesn't seem they put in the same type of effort at quality control as other places do. And as a result, I mean, their latest.
In other words, you would go to Burger King and say, hey, give me a burger. And sometimes it would be kind of good and then sometimes really bad. In other words, that's what you mean.
Yes. And I think their premise of having it your way is fantastic. I love that. You know, you're going to customize it the way I want it. That's great. But then you need to pull it off. And then a lot of their promotions, Howard, and the things they do, like the new thing they have with this red burger for Spider-Man. Like, who the hell wants to eat a red burger? That sounds disgusting to me.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. It's not appealing, you know, visually. I don't know what it tastes like, but it seems like the bun is red, not the burger. Because a red burger to me looks raw. It was like the bun was red. And then remember on Halloween, they had a black bun, you know, for Halloween, and that didn't look like fun either.
Yeah, who wants a bun that looks like something's wrong with it? It's either, you know, bloody or moldy or burnt.
It's super right. Gimmicky, and what other places do, it's like, here's our product. It's a great product, so you should have it. You don't need to, you know, put colors on it or change it or alter it. Just, you know, stick, like, the Whopper is great if they just put a Whopper out there and then people would respond to that, but they don't. They try so damn hard and it just comes up empty.
Well, there it is. There it is. Burger King closing the store. So you must know what you're talking about, dude. I mean, people agree with you.
The first it's savable, blows Howard. In the end of Burger King, do you think?
No, they have enough restaurants out there and brand. They have such a great brand name that they can turn it around. But they got to do what Wendy's did. You got to improve your products. You got to simplify the menu. And you got to make sure they've got onion rings. Nobody else has onion rings. That's a great thing to promote. And, you know, just do a better job cleaning up in-house. And they could do this. But for years and years, they've ignored it. And now, again, they're paying the unfortunate price to some. To me, it doesn't affect me because I'll never set foot in a Burger King.
Hit him with the high!
I like onion rings, but if I have a choice for calories, I'm going for the fries. You know what I mean? It's fine that you have onion rings, but if I'm going to have one or the other, although most people who go to Burger King will get both.
But how great would it be if you can mix it up, have fries and onion rings, like a combo sort of thing?
I'm always going to get fries. Fries are better than onion rings.
I don't disagree. I love fries.
So I don't think onion rings are enough to save them. What about the flame broiled burger? I would think that sounds reasonable.
Is it real or is that just paint on the burger?
Nobody cares about that, honestly. I think what people care about is how the burger tastes when you eat it. And Wendy's has better burgers and McDonald's has better burgers than Burger King does. And don't tweak it with this certain kind of meat and this and that. Don't do that. Like, just flip the burger, put it on the grill and let people decide for themselves.
I've never seen grill marks like that.
Why don't they just talk to you? You know what I mean? You know what you're talking about. You wrote a book about it.
Hit him with the high.
One time someone who was affiliated with Burger King, you know, came to me and I thought, of course, they were going to threaten me or something because of the things I've said before. And I said to them, look, I can help you guys out. They said, don't worry. We know what we're doing. We have this new campaign. It's going to get all these new customers and our affiliates are going to buy into it. And I was like, okay, we'll see what happens. And now they're closing 400 restaurants.
Yeah, you should have been like, all right, don't talk to me. Fine.
That's exactly it. I was like, okay, you do your thing. Go get them.
You want to know something? There were three. We were talking about it this morning earlier, and there were three dudes on our staff who had the black bun for Halloween.
Are you up for the black bun?
Yes. And they said the next day they shit green. Their shit turned green.
Wow.
And they freaked out. And I think one of them was Gary, and he was going to go to the doctor. He was all freaked out, and then he put it together that it was the black bun. That is, wasn't it you, Gary, who ate the black bun?
No, some of the other guys. I ate a green bagel. And
all right.
And then I shit like fairly bright green, and I thought I was going to die. I didn't put it together. And I was like, I think I have to call a doctor or go to the emergency room. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I ate that stupid fucking bagel.
Right. Death by bagel. Well, anyway, I don't know. I was a Roy Rogers guy when I was heavy into fast food. So I don't know if that is relevant. And they went out of business. I thought they were really good.
Are there any left? I think there might be one or two.
There's some. I loved it. Oh, they were the best. Did you like them, John?
Yeah. Roy Rogers, great fried chicken, really good burgers. They had that Fixin's bar. Roy Rogers was a solid.
Oh, yes, the Fixin's.
So what happened to them? Well, yeah. Robin and I were very busy with Fixin's. We used to go out to there every day. Every day after our show in Washington, D.C. Our physiques looked it. Right, Robin? We were out of shape.
That's right. We looked like we ate at Roy Rogers every day.
In fact, Robin used to call me Roy, and I'd call her Dale.
Howard, I don't know why, but they still have one, I think, on the Jersey Turnpike. And I think, is there still one in Penn Station, John?
I don't know if the Penn Station one is still there. The sons of the original owners bought the name, and they were trying to bring it back in like the Maryland area. Mm. So there are some in the Northeast, but they got a long way to go. Their plan
Why did
was
they go out of business, John?
Well, their plan originally was to copy Kentucky Fried Chicken's chicken, get Arby's roast beef sandwich, and a burger. I forgot who the burger was, and it worked, and people loved it, in addition to the Fixin's bar. Then I think they merged with Hardee's, and they had financial issues, and it just kind of fell apart. But Roy Rogers, for a long time, was a really good pick. And again, that chicken was really, really good. Jason worked in Roy Rogers. I know he loved it.
Yeah, I was a big fan. I thought for sure I would have put my money on Roy Rogers, but it wouldn't be the first time I was wrong. That's why I do not fuck with that stock market. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm like, hey, Roy Rogers seems reasonable. I'll put some money in then. Next thing you know, they got one place on the Jersey Turnpike. My luck.
Yeah, just go with McDonald's. McDonald's and Chipotle, of all things.
Really? I've never been to one of those
companies. Oh, my God.
Chipotle is good stuff.
I might be too famous to go to Chipotle.
Really?
Yeah, I think I might be at that level where I can't be seen there. People would just be confused. What's he doing at Chipotle?
Well, like when we went out for Robin's birthday party that time, I'll return the favor by taking both of you to Chipotle, and I'll give you an example of the fine cuisine they have, and you can try it out for yourselves.
I'll go.
I get a burrito bowl now, actually relatively healthy.
I'm sure. Well, anyway. That's cool. All right. I just thought it was an interesting discussion. Roy Rogers going, not Roy Rogers, Burger King going down, man.
Hit him with the hein!
Well. That's America. You got to give the people what they want. We got into a weird fucking discussion this morning.
Really?
Yeah. I was talking about how unhealthy High Pitch Eric is. And then we were like,
stop it.
Who do you think the next... I know. Who do you think the next Whack Packer is going to be to go? You know, because we've lost a couple of Whack Packers. Yeah, the drum roll isn't appropriate in the sense that we didn't come to a conclusion, because every Whack Packer we named was like, oh yeah, them. Like, first I said Eric doesn't eat healthy, and Eric, like, you know, he takes all these medications and everything. So I go, I think Eric's
always getting operations now. I mean, every time we talk to him, he's getting an operation.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I go, well, wait a second, what about Wendy?
the slow adult. And I go, wait, she's always coughing. But then someone goes, well, she does have youth on her side. She's only like 40. I go, yeah, but. Anyway, Wolfie, you think Eric's going to go before Wendy?
I would think so. He's heavy. He's a smoker. I think there's some other issues going on. And Wendy's a lot younger. The body can outlast even fast food for a long period of time. So I'd put my money on Wendy living longer.
I disagree.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, okay, Eric is definitely fat, but he walks and he smokes, but he's not inhaling the cigars. It's not great for him. But Wendy, I don't even think walks anywhere. I think she's almost in a wheelchair. So at least Eric is up walking, getting some form of exercise. I know he plays golf a lot, so he's out and doing something.
That's true. You see, this is what happened.
How does he play golf? I mean, my God.
That big belly? It shows you that golf is not a real sport. If Eric can play it, there's something wrong. Hey, Eric, when you golf, I'm curious. When you golf, like, I don't know much about golf, but, like, what's your handicap? And I don't mean your IQ.
I don't have a handicap. I just play for fun.
Yeah, for fun.
But I do get out and I exercise.
Yeah, how long does it take you to get, like, one, like, let's say you go to a hole. How many times do you have to hit the ball before it actually goes into that little hole?
Probably two or three times.
Oh, bullshit.
Get out of here.
Yeah, bullshit. Tell the truth.
No, because sometimes I miss the ball.
No. Listen to me. Are you going to a driving range or are you playing an actual game?
Well, I haven't played since last year because of my surgery. But I'm trying to get back.
Surgery.
Eric, what how far can you drive? How far can you drive a ball?
Well, in the cart, he can take it pretty far.
Well, last year, I drove the ball about 189 yards.
He's so bullshit.
Howard, I don't understand something. Eric, you ran into a friend of mine on the golf course the other day. If you're not playing, why are you there?
Because my friend that owns a cigar truck, he was there handing out cigars, so I hung out with him.
They have a cigar truck at the golf thing?
Yeah, because my friend was giving out cigars.
Wow. Yeah, supposedly cigars and golf go together.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hate golf so much. I tried it. And there's no way Eric is driving the ball 189 yards. There's no fucking way.
And taking three times to hit the hole. He's saying most of the time when he tries to hit the ball off the tee, he misses it.
Yeah.
Those are all strokes, Eric.
He's going to have a stroke. He misses the ball. I bet you he falls down. Do you ever fall down? Like, do you swing and then fall down because you're off balance?
No, I never fall down.
Okay. But anyway, getting back to who'll live the longest. Like, all right, Wolfie, Gary. Wendy, Bigfoot, Tamon, Beetlejuice, Jeff the Drunk. Like someone goes, someone mentions, yeah, to me, it's like someone mentions Jeff the Drunk and I go, oh, he's next. And then someone goes, Beetlejuice. I go, oh, yeah, right. He's going next. And then,
Jeff's one of those guys that I feel like could just live forever. He doesn't get any exercise at all, but he just will keep, I don't know, there's people live to be 100 sometimes. I don't know how.
See,
I'm not worried about him.
I used to talk to Jeff a lot. Jeff has since quit the show because you wouldn't pick up on
him. Yeah, by the way,
him.
For anyone listening, Chris brings up a good point. Jeff quit the show. And what that means is, it's so funny.
But do you know why he quit the show?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
He quit the show because, this is the best. When I was in the middle of interviewing Bruce Springsteen, he called in to speak to Bruce. And I didn't pick up. And he said, that's it. That's the last straw.
And it was. And
hasn't called or taken your call. Well,
no, I called him once and he just said, I'm done. I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, I don't listen to the show. I don't want, he can go fuck himself. I don't care. Like, he just was. And by the way, he did the same thing during Mick Jagger. He did the same thing during, I don't know, some other like huge interviews. It was almost like he had his own death wish when it came to the show. He knew if he did that, you wouldn't pick up.
And well, that's why I love him, because he's so wacky. You know, it's like he's so delusional. I never pick up during an interview. I'm talking. I'm focused on the person.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
You know, but it doesn't matter to him. He's just like I should be on with Bruce.
Could you imagine, like, the Bruce Springsteen interview goes to HBO, right? And there's beautiful images of you and Bruce is singing these songs. And then all of a sudden you go, now on the phone, Jeff the Drunk.
Jeff the Drunk. Bruce, let me introduce you to Jeff the Drunk. I mean, here you are opening your heart to us, playing these songs, describing how you came up with these works of genius.
How did you come up with Thunder Road? Can I sing Thunder Road with you?
Because that's what it would be. It would be, let's do a duet.
Let's do that on TikTok. Thunder Road.
The reason I think Jeff may be a candidate, unfortunately, for passing is, one, now he doesn't have the show. So his main purpose is gone, which is never good. And Jeff's a guy who's always going in for procedures. He has a lot of accidents around his trailer because he's only got the one arm. I'd always call him. He'd have a recent fall. He tripped over the dishwasher. Like, I can just see him doing something and just going in a flash.
I hate when one of these guys dies because, you know, we're running out of whack packers. We don't seem to be replenishing the supply. I don't know if it's because of amniocentesis and more children are being born healthy or what, but, you know, and maybe now with the anti-abortion laws coming out, we'll get more whack packers.
Maybe there'll be a resurgence,
And anti-vaccine, too, will help.
I will say one thing about Jeff that is kind of shocking because, you know, I don't know how old Jeff is, but it wasn't that long ago. It was his 50th birthday. And I thought he was 68 for real. Like, I couldn't believe it was his 50th birthday.
You know what kills me? Like, a couple of years ago, I said to Gary, we got to replenish the whack pack. Let's go out and have everyone on staff find a potential whack packer. And so we did, and we found Marfon Mike. And he died on me.
Right. He went right away. He wasn't in the whack pack very
long. Sad.
No, he just got in and then he died. He was like, And I went, okay, you're in. And then he dies.
He was such a sweet guy. He was on my beat. If you're on my beat, it's never good. Because I had Elephant Boy. I had Marfon.
Oh,
maybe
dear.
It's good that Jeff isn't. I'm like the angel of death. But, you know, I'd call Marfon. I mean, I don't know who is harder to understand, Marfon or Fred. You'd be on the phone for 2 hours to get 3 minutes of content because you just could not understand what the fuck they were saying.
I still can't believe Elephant Boy is dead. In fact, when you said it, I went, is he right? Because I kind of been in denial. And to answer your question, who is harder to understand? I can answer that very easily as someone who really had a focus, you know, because Fred was like, you thought love is dead. And Marfon was like, and I'd be like, for me, I think it was Fred the Elephant Boy was a little more difficult.
You know why? Because Fred would really talk. He'd just go off. He'd tell you whole stories and speeches, and you'd really you'd only catch every eighth or ninth word. Yeah. It was
Fred the Elephant
Boy.
It was weird. Even though he had a speech impediment, he loved to talk. So he'd have long stories. And I'd be on the air sometimes going, this is funny for a few seconds, but now we're into a real story. And, you know, I don't know that I can keep going with it.
But, sometimes he'd go like, he'd go whole long diatribe and he'd go, you know what I mean? I'd go, of course, man.
His favorite expression was, like I said. He was a good guy. But I don't know, Eric, who do you think's going to go next in the whack pack? Is it you or?
Well, I hope, hopefully no one.
Well, of course.
But, you know, I do walk a lot. Now I got to tell you something.
Here we go. Listen, my day was so miserable from Eric yesterday.
Here we go.
Here we go. Let him get it out, and then I'll explain to you what's going on.
Go ahead, Eric.
What's on your mind?
I have a North Shore Anomaly coming to my house today.
Yes.
Willingly.
And tell them why.
Because yesterday I woke up, opened my curtains, and I see a cat outside my window. And besides the cat, I see little kittens outside the backyard. I don't know how old they are, but they were baby kittens. Maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah, and so let me just all right. You know what? Hey, Eric, fantastic. And Eric now is a hero because he's getting the cats to North Shore, and then, you know, and Beth will help them get home.
Oh, wonderful, okay? Wonderful.
All right, good job, Eric. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Eric. And Beth's proud of you. Everyone's proud of you.
I can't have cats because if I do, you'll ban me from the show.
Yeah, you can't have any cats. That's the
or
that's
dogs.
Right. Or dogs. You're
or
not good with animals.
Or
plants. Or plants. You can't have it.
You can't have anything living.
No flies. Yeah.
Nothing with a pulse.
But you did the right thing. You did the right thing, Eric, and now you're a hero. Okay?
Right. And the first thing I did was email Gary. He had someone call me from the North Shore Animal League.
Good.
Coming today at 11.
And a good man. Let me know how it goes, all right? You're a hero. Thank you.
Sure, he'll let you know.
Yeah.
Gary, and I want you to send Eric a trophy for finding the cats.
Two. I'll send him two.
Send him two trophies. See what I have in the garbage bill over there. SEAL Team 6 has nothing on you, Eric. You're a hero.
Hey, I'm glad that this is going to help these kittens get a home. And they told me how they're going to get them to come to them.
And Eric, you're such a hero. Your reward is you never have to work again. The taxpaying citizens of this country are going to support you the rest of your life, okay?
And before I left the house yesterday, I gave them water because it was so high yesterday.
Good man. And I know
wonderful.
And I know North Shore Animal League is going to get there pronto and help the kittens and the mom, and it's all because of you, my hero. Okay, Eric?
But I don't understand. They said, what, you know, when they get the mom, they give the mom the vaccines and they keep the mom a couple of days, but they bring back the mom where they got her from, and they bring her back.
What they do is they spay and neuter the mom because the mom is probably feral. Unless she's a house cat, then she can be saved to live in someone's house. It's all under control, Eric. The bottom line is you're a hero, okay?
Don't worry about it. It's now in the hands of others, okay?
Professionals who are going to handle it, okay?
All right.
All right, good man. There you go.
I love you. Howard, I love you. Beth.
Love you. I'm very proud of you. All right. Thank you for being a hero and dropping a major problem on other people's laps to clean up. Thank you.
As usual.
There goes my hero, Eric. You're like an obese Mother Teresa. God bless.
Listen, I work out every day by walking.
Yeah, you're going to live. You're going to live, fortunately for us, because you're my hero. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's Eric. All right, Bay. I'm not even going to tell you this story of what went on yesterday until North Shore gets the cats.
Shit.
You just got to keep telling Eric he's a hero. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, we came up with a plan. Don't ask this guy.
Keep him happy. Keep him happy.
Keep him happy. Let's get the cats and then we'll be okay. Good Lord.
And they had to show up outside his door, huh?
Nothing worse than Eric being in control of something.
Yeah.
Oh, what have we here?
When I tell you this story, Robin, I'll tell you this on the next show once we get everything settled.
Okay.
The greatest story. You're just going to laugh your ass off. You're going to love it. I want to thank my friends at Mattress Firm. It's the new bed, new you sale at Mattress Firm. Shop online or in store today and save up to $500 on top brands.
Thank you.
The Howard Stern Show.
Who turns a boring day into fun?
It's about life.
Mond.
Yeah, that's me.
Who retweets titties, assholes, and cunt?
Wet cunt.
Mond.
Oh, yeah.
I make These boring hallways glimmer with a little ounce of class.
That is correct.
If you're a hot young guy,
I'll comment on your sexy little ass.
Howard, over here.
You turn a dull show into a hit.
You got that right.
Man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
By sticking rubber dongs where you shit.
Right in my fucking hole.
Runny man. Who thought a limo driver could be the biggest pervert on my staff?
Hey, where'd you assholes come from?
Your words are reprehensible. Hey. Your actions indefensible.
And yet you're indispensable. Man.
All right, assholes. This is gonna be fucking nuts.
Us with your charm and your wit.
Yeah! It's the best!
When you talk about ass juice and tits.
Ass juice is real, dude!
You coined a thousand phrases.
Hell yeah.
Each one grosser than the one before.
I'm carried away with myself.
We bet that Fallon's driver never screamed out, let's go fuck some whores.
Let's fuck some goddamn fucking whores!
You wash our frowns away in a blink.
Smile, fuckheads! Yeah!
Just like you wash your ass in the sink.
I like a clean hole, okay? You see, you fucked.
You're crude, you're gross, you're crazy, but you're the greatest grandpa that we know.
Good for you.
Fuck off!
That curvy look upon your face.
Fucking great.
Makes the whole world a better place.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ever start to act your age, Mom.
Let's hear it!
Mom.
Right there.
Mom.
Do it. Oh. Pick my ass so I can fucking come.
Andy Cohen, and these are the real morons of Miami.
Let's have all those cunts have a drink.
Fuck this white snake! Yeah!
If you like messy, drama-hungry bitches...
You fucking cunt!
He's an old fucking bag of shit.
Get the fuck out of here!
You'll love a night out with the Stern Show staff in Miami.
You fucking push me over the edge, you fucking grease head! You fucking asshole!
Whoa, Ronnie just hurled his drink like 20 feet towards Mike Perlman.
And after the fight... The teary confession.
Who the hell is he?
He's your friend.
Well, and he's not my friend.
Okay.
Let's get that straight.
I love you. All I'm saying is...
Yeah, you don't fucking love me. Fuck you. Fuck you.
And it wouldn't be a drama-filled shit show without someone storming off.
And I'm sorry, but, like, know your fucking place. Because that guy's very manipulative and kind of a piece of shit. So I'm getting out of here.
Next time on The Real Morons of Miami, Mushmouth sweetheart J.D. Harmeyer has a tender, teary moment.
You're choked up?
Oh, no, shut up.
Wait, baby. I never had a little white lion for you. How'd you like that Mushmouths of Miami? Isn't that great? I mean, the real morons of Miami. That's like...
Yeah, I was truly enjoying the promo.
I know, it could go on for hours. Thanks. Shout out to Andy Cohn for cutting that with us. Real Morons of Miami. If you just missed that, you missed a classic. White Lion. Remember these guys?
Oh, yeah. That lead singer was really cute.
So cute. Like, cute like a girl, you know?
Yeah, he could have been a girl.
Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he transitioned.
We haven't heard from him in a long time.
If anyone should have transitioned, it was him. You know, he was a really handsome guy. What was his name again? That lead singer. This was a good song. Top 10 hit. And became incredibly popular after the video was playing nonstop on MTV. I remember that. They were touring with AC/DC and Kiss. But I don't know. They just never got to that next level. They broke up in 1991. 4 years after this song came out. It was good. Listen to the guitar work. But... I think, like, grunge came out. And they were a hair band, you know? I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they were, you know, he had the flowing blonde locks, and he was always in white leather. I mean, what a vision.
Mikey Tramp, that's his name. Frontman Mikey Tramp.
And he had some kind of an accent. He wasn't American.
Yeah, but he was Dutch. And then he told us he heard the guitar intro, and the word wait came to him, and the song came to him pretty easily. And Vito Bratta was, I think, the guitar player. Really good. Good band. They had it all. Good-looking front guy who could sing. Listen to the guitar dude.
Yeah.
That's a talented boy right there, Vito. All right, Vito. Like Burger King, they're out of business now. Well, not out of business, but...
What is Mikey doing now? What do you imagine?
I don't know. Anyway, hey, I wanted to play you this. Before I talked to Eric Andre, I wanted to play you something. This is inspired by this whole deal that's going on that I don't know. I don't get this backlash to all things trans. There was someone else, not just Bud Light. There was someone the other day I was reading. Hey, guys, who brought that up the other day? There was a company that had, I don't know, like Bud Light, they used a trans person. Oh, I know what. Who's getting the, it's Sports Illustrated.
Oh, they had a trans model, right.
And, like, people are upset about it. And I guess I just don't get... I don't understand being upset about a person who is transsexual. I don't... Like, even, like, the whole Bud Light thing. With all the hillbillies and stuff, like, blowing up cans of Anheuser-Busch, they don't... they're not at the point where they just want to say, hey, fuck you, I want to blow up a trans person. They're more comfortable saying, hey, fuck you, Anheuser-Busch. I'm going to blow up your can, or I'm going to, like, they, I saw a guy on the internet running over a Bud Light, case of Bud Light with his truck. And I think what they are saying is they'd rather be running over the trans person than the Bud Light, but they can't say that because then they'll go to jail.
But it's more like we want to shun them since we can't run them over. So Bud Light shouldn't acknowledge them.
Right.
Anything we like shouldn't acknowledge them. We're not going to acknowledge them. It's shunning.
So someone told me I was woke, and I go, well, does woke mean, because I don't think even anyone knows what woke means, but I think they're saying to me, oh, you're not bothered by trans, so you're woke. And I'm like, well, then I guess I am, if that's the definition of woke. I don't give two fucks if a guy wants to become a girl and get his dick cut off and get tits. I don't care. In fact, I'm making an announcement now. I will only drink beer endorsed by trans people. What do you think of that? I'm the opposite. I only want trans beer.
Yay!
Yay, trans beer. Yay! I mean, I don't care. I mean, like, here's the way I look at life. I realize now that I'm older, we have such a short lifespan. I'm going to be dead for eternity. And where I was before, I don't know. So only for a little speck of time. In fact, time laughs at me. They go, you idiot. If you're lucky, you could live 100 years. And we'll make the last 10 years really shitty for you.
I was going to say, and that ain't even fun.
No, we're going to make it really, you're going to beg for eternal rest. So I only get this little window of consciousness where I get to be part of the planet and, you know, participate in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I feel the same for anybody who was born, whether they're gay, straight, trans, I don't care what you are. Like, they've got this little window of consciousness, and if it makes them happy, what the fuck do I care if they're trans? What? It does not affect me.
It doesn't do anything to the people who object to them. What is it doing to them? Why can't they stand it?
Now, some companies are actually, they have, like, trans people, you know, representing them, but, it, like, I see, like, I follow, like, Hunter Schaefer. She's trans. Uh-huh.
And she's got endorsement deals, but nobody seems to be bummed out by her. They seem to be bummed out by this Dylan Mulvaney, who is a trans.
Why?
I mean,
what's the target on her? Why is she objectionable and somebody else is not?
I think because, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. But
well,
it doesn't bother me, really.
Well, the thing that bothers me, you know, Salman Rushdie.
Yeah.
Last year, I think he was attacked on stage.
Yeah.
Some guy rushed up and tried to kill him. And now he's blind in one eye. And, you know, he has other problems because of that attack. He had to hide for years because he wrote a book.
Yeah.
About, you know, being Muslim or something. Yeah. And, you know, he was just on, you know, he just got an award in England, and you know, he was speaking and he said, I can't believe I'm in the United States and people are banning books. They want to ban libraries.
Yeah, it's fucked.
You know, it's just crazy. They want to revise children's books. You know, it's just, and I wonder, you know, I'm talking about education the other day and how we need to be on the cutting edge and be able to handle, you know, life and continue to create new and better things for humanity. And meanwhile, they're trying to not, you know, to circumscribe everything a child reads so their minds never expand.
Anyway, I got a little compilation of people destroying their Bud Light on social media. It's like a thing where you go on and you're all proud of destroying, you know, like, fuck you.
And like you did something. Yeah.
My dad drank nothing but Bud Light for years. He will never buy another case of Bud Light because you want to be woke and you want to cater to the stupid ass population who don't even know what damn gender they are. Really?
Bud Light, all Bud products. Today, they go down the drain.
I will go in my cabinet, and I will find all my Bud Light glasses, and they are getting broken.
This is where it now belongs. In the garbage.
Whenever you drink a beer, you don't want to be thinking about trans people.
Budweiser, this is what I think of your product.
He's running his truck.
Fuck
over.
You, Anheuser-Busch.
You were a shitty drink all along, so suck it, Bud Light.
So anyway, that's going on, but according to a report, murders of trans people nearly doubled over the past 4 years, and mostly black trans women are at risk. But
yeah,
you would think Bud Light.
Trans people are having a great time.
They're having a shitty life, man. Don't make it worse. You'd think Bud Light supported Hitler or something. But anyway, so we use this opportunity to have some fun, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because we're all about fun on this show. The boys made a prank call. We called a Tradio type show where people buy, sell, or trade items. You know the deal. Mm-hmm. So we called in with some Bud Light memorabilia up for sale to see how the host would react. So this was kind of fun. I enjoy this one.
Stand by for Dollar Trade. Hello, everybody. Give us a call to buy, sell, or trade. Hello. Dollar Trade.
Yeah, I got a bunch of Bud Light stuff that I want to get the hell out of my house. Did you hear what they're up to?
Oh, yeah, I know all about it. Bud Light sent a can of beer to the transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney. Had a picture of the can with some woke indications on it. That's about all I know.
Yep, so then you understand why I'm getting rid of all my Bud Light stuff, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
No Bud Light in your fridge, huh?
Nothing.
Good.
What kind of stuff you got there?
Well, I'm selling my Bud Light shirts, Bud Light caps,
okay.
Bud Light koozies, even my dog named Bud, all my Bud Abbott and Lou Costello movies.
We got
my Buddy Hackett autographed 8x10.
Okay.
All the lights in my house, my Electric Light Orchestra album.
You got it.
My kids' light bright toy.
Thank you. Getting rid of all these Bud Light stuff. Dollar Trade.
Hey, I hear you're selling Bud Light stuff on here now.
Yeah, some stuff he wanted to get rid of, that's right.
Dollar Trade has gone woke.
Oh, now, this is buy, sell, trade. You got anything for Dollar Trade?
My pronouns are dial of trade sucks.
Oh.
Why not let people sell their chopped off genitals on your show, too?
Hey.
Chop off your peckers, folks.
Hey. Yeah, I gather. Need to get back on your meds. Sick. Got some fellow wanting to sell his Bud Light to memorabilia. It's got everybody excited out there. Anyway, dollar trade.
I'm sorry people are overreacting to Bud Light on your show.
Yeah, appreciate it.
There's nothing wrong with Bud Light.
Yeah.
I have a Bud Light right here, and I'm going to drink it right now.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen. I enjoy being a joy.
Wait a
being
minute.
I enjoy.
Shut up. Well, I guess you go get medical attention. Oh, boy. All right, got to move on. Dollar Trade.
This is your favorite president.
Hello.
We've got to fight back against Bud Light with the most heterosexual beverage in human history, Trump water.
All right. How much of it do you have?
I have loaded up a super soaker with it,
right.
And we're at a gay pride parade right now.
Hello, okay. Frisco.
Bring in the Trump water fire hose.
There you go.
Look at them sticking their thumbs up. They love it.
Hey.
It's starting to work.
All right.
Hey. Trump water wins again.
No.
See? They're all straight now.
Psycho. Just let it go. Anyway. Darn them. I'm sorry. I'll be right back. Looking for a new battery for your lawnmower? They carry over 1,000 batteries, farm, commercial, general use, hard to find.
Wow.
Wow. Good commercial.
But he was all over the place. He knew the woman's name that they're, you know, carrying on about. And then, you know, when he started getting the protest calls because he was now selling the memorabilia, he was like, get a hold of yourself. It's no big deal. Man wants to get rid of his memorabilia.
No, he called it memberbilia. Memberbilia. Yeah. Well, anyway, the thing with that Dylan Mulvaney is she's like kind of annoying. So I think that's why they react. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know that they knew anything about her until they saw the picture on a Bud Light can.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It just doesn't bother me. Maybe I'm woke. It doesn't bother me. I go about my day. I don't think about Dylan Mulvaney, Bud Light. I don't think about any of that shit. I got bigger issues and
yeah, more important things to do.
I actually think it was sort of nice. They sent her a can with her face on it, made her feel good. It's a fuck.
But by the same token, if you make that go away, how's your life better?
Well, Dylan Mulvaney's on the phone. Hey, Dylan, hi.
Hey, Howard, how you doing, man? How's everything?
Pretty good.
I just wanted to call in. I really appreciate all the support, brother. This is really, you know, it's really nice of you to just support me and back me and all this. Hang on a second. Oh. you know, okay. I'm a regular broad, you know. I just put my bra on one titty at a time, just like any other kid. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You know, Bud Light is great, man. It goes great. You can watch a nice episode of Sex and the City. You can watch The Bachelor. Crack open a nice Bud Light. It's awesome. You know,
I agree with you, pal.
You mean Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan.
Yeah. Hold on. I gotta go. I gotta go take a monster shit. All right.
All right. All right. Good luck.
All right. Bye bye.
By the way, how about Mike Perlman playing the role of Dylan? Pretty good job.
I didn't know Mike was getting into voice.
He does Dylan impressions. Not Bob Dylan. Dylan Mulvaney. What can I say? God bless. Who cares? Hey, John.
Hey, I was good. You answered it already. You said that he or she was annoying. I think that's really what it was. But
yeah, guys,
were they following her before Bud Light got a hold of her.
Maybe they should
have gotten Hunter Schaefer, then maybe people would have calmed down. I don't know. All right. Hey, cool. All right. Thanks.
Anyway,
yeah.
No, nothing sorry. Makes any sense.
I hung up because I got Eric Andre waiting in the wings and I want to talk to him. You know, I'm a big fan and I got plenty to talk to him about.
You know, right, I was thinking about him and I said, you know, he's all three Stooges in one. That's yep. what he is.
Yep. He is. And he's funny. He's just fucking funny. All right. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. There's the new trans Bud Light freak out phony phone call.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Eric Andre Show.
Coming up next.
This is how fucking nuts you are. We love Eric, but he's crazy.
Howard sits down with actor and comedian Eric Andre. Coming up next.
In the year 2014, Captain Beet Juice Rogers was sent on a mission to the moon.
It could be aliens on the moon, but you never know.
But after falling through a wormhole, he awoke 500 years in the future. Now, he's Beet Rogers in the 25th century.
Ooh, me?
With Mike Tyson.
Beet, look out behind you. You saved my life.
Yeah, he got nervous, man.
And Howie Mandel.
Where did you learn to shoot like that?
Yeah, liquor, whatever.
Huh?
And William Shatner.
Tell me about the 21st century, Beetlejuice.
Well, Obama was a piece of shit.
Fascinating. Anything else?
Well, Sam was a real jerk-off.
I see.
And Amy Poehler as Martian Lieutenant Amy Poehler.
So, Beetle, what do you think of me?
Well, Martian is just like regular people is. They change their bodies.
You always know just what to say. You're so handsome.
I'd love to get to that pussy, baby.
Beet Rogers. The galaxy is about to get beat.
I'm going to take out my dick.
All aboard!
Cunt, cunt, cunt!
Little Sabotage from the Beastie Boys. Fabulous song, man. You know who's a big fan of the Beastie Boys? Eric Andre.
Is he?
Yeah. He had a band in college called Blarp, and heavily influenced by the Beastie Boys, Frank Zappa, and others. And
I could see that.
I'll give you a weird fact that I know. The working title for Sabotage when the Beastie Boys were writing it was Chris Rock.
Huh.
Not after the comedian, but after the sound engineer, Chris, who loved the song. So it was Chris Rock. In other words, he liked rock. Chris liked rock. Anyway,
you
get it.
Sabotage? I don't know.
Sabotage, Robin. You're saying it wrong. Sabotage. I say sabotage. Anyway, Eric Andre, best looking guy I know. And Eric is season 6 of the Eric Andre Show, debuting June 4th. Look at my man. I love him.
Yeah, baby. What's happening?
You look fabulous.
You look hot.
I should tell people that. Should I tell them that I called you off the air? Should we start?
Sure.
With that?
Yeah. Let's air it all out. We had a beef. We had a Tupac Biggie beef for a day.
Eric and I, you know, I love Eric, and I love Eric's show, the Eric Andre Show, which I encourage you to watch the new season, June 4th on Adult Swim. You know what's weird about your show?
Mm.
Whenever I watch it, I go, God, this show's so good because it's so fast-paced, and I'm always laughing, and it never gets boring. And I was talking to John Hunt, and I go, you know, I really love Eric's show. And he goes, yeah, and you know, the other thing is that it's 12 minutes long. It's so good. I go, what? What do you mean it's 12 minutes long? It's a half hour, isn't it?
No.
He goes, no. The reason it's good, it's 12 minutes.
Yeah.
That's why I refer to it as clips, because it was so, I was like, that has to be a clip of the show.
No, that's the whole show. It's like TikTok.
Eric, when you
it's one
pitched
minute longer than a TikTok.
When you pitched the show to Adult Swim, was that the idea? Like, hey, can I do a 12-minute show?
No, that's their format. They only do quarter-hour shows, and it's an 11-minute runtime, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. You pack a lot into 12 minutes. But anyway,
Yeah.
I guess when Eric was dating Emily Ratajkowski for a few minutes, you know, I don't know how long, I don't know anything about it, but I was like, you know, I was fascinated because I think she's just fucking beautiful, you know, Emily. And I guess I said, you know, I identified you as someone like me, like we're not the best looking guys in the world. And, you know, I might have said you were not good looking. And then I got
word. You said I looked like I got hit by a bus.
Yeah, but but I feel I look like I got hit by. But you know what? Actually,
I don't think I'm a male model, but I'm not the right. Elephant Man either.
Like, you're right. You're 100% right. And then
I got something like, going on.
That's the problem with doing a show like this, and I think you know it too. It's like you're talking and you're just trying to make a point, and then you just go too far.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so. I heard some. How did I find out that you were upset about it?
I texted Jason Kaplan. I was like, oh, so it looks like I got hit by a bus, huh? Yeah. And he's like, no. He's just joking around. I go, okay, we'll see what happens when I get in there.
Well, I thought you were so upset. I mean,
no,
we're downplaying it now.
No, I know shtick. And every other thing out of my mouth, whenever I do an interview or I'm on stage, I regret instantly. It's like right. Part of comedy. You're just like speaking from your id, and it's not pretty most of the time.
Well, when Jason tells me, you know, we're in a meeting and he goes, you know, Eric was really offended. and I go, really? I said, are you really? Because the way Jason tells the story is so fucking like dire.
No, he's dramatic. He's a sensitive guy like me. And he likes high stakes stories. No, I wasn't. I was flattered. If anything, I was like, I'm always flattered when you bring me up. And
well, you know what happened? Jason also heard from one of your good friends. I don't know if you know about this.
I don't.
But the good friend contacted Jason and said, by the way, Eric was really offended by what Eric said.
Who said that?
I don't know. Jason didn't give me the guy's name, but really a real friend of yours. And so I said, I am picking up the phone and I am calling Eric and I want to say to him, you know, dude, at first I blew off steam. I was like, Jason. That what Eric thinks he's fucking Brad Pitt now because he's dating Emily Ratajkowski. I mean, he's got to calm down. He's going to lose his whole comedy chops if he starts thinking like that. So I called you, and I could tell right away you were like, "Oh, dude, you didn't need to call me."
No,
you know,
I wasn't offended for a second.
Oh, good.
Okay. I would, you know, like I had a little bit of like, oh, like a pearl grab, but I understand shtick more than. Just
and you
as
know
much
what?
As the next person.
I get why hot chicks are into you. You're fun. You got big hair.
Thank you.
By the way, you got a great fro.
You as well.
Yours is better.
No. Stop. You got the award for having the best hair in entertainment. I didn't get that award.
Years in a row.
Thank you, Robin. Years in a row.
Oh man. I don't know. I like your fro.
I never got any hair awards.
I like your fro because it's got height. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah. But anyway.
Got loft.
And the curtains match the carpet.
This way. I don't necessarily like the pulled back look on you.
No. You know what? That is for. I have to do pranks in the streets with real people. And I'm getting recognized more and more. So I had to do a different hair look to kind of disguise, like hide in broad daylight. So that wasn't really a stylistic choice as much as it was a disguise.
By the way, I'm noticing the Pat Riley t-shirt you're wearing.
Yes, is that controversial?
No, I mean, listen, I was really bummed when the Knicks got beat by Miami. I love the Knicks, and I would have liked to see them win, but, you know, Miami's got a fine team.
I love the Knicks. I'm born and raised in Miami. I grew up a Miami Heat fan. And I'm proud of the Knicks, and they made it far. They made it farther than some thought they were going to make it. I'm proud of my Heat as well. And so I am, I'm not rubbing this in your face. I want
cool. No, I'm not that crazy, but
Pat Riley is the godfather. We grew up worshiping Pat Riley. So.
Yeah, I get it. But Celtics, right? They're going to play Miami. I hear the whole rap on them is that they play like the old Knicks, like the Willis Reed Knicks.
Like they play dirty?
Well, no, they played very, very well. And they're playing like exceptionally. Do you think Miami will beat the Celtics?
I want them to.
You do.
I don't know if they will, but I want them to. I'm going to say yes. No, I need to put positivity out in the universe. Yes, they will.
Yeah.
And I'm like a poser. I'm not like the biggest sports fan. If you're going to start talking stats, I'll just be like, I'll start spacing out.
Yeah, but, I don't know shit.
Yeah,
I don't know shit
about it. I try to be macho and tough when I go to games, like I'm a real man. But I really don't know anything. I have no skill set. I don't really know anything about anything. I try to start cooking in quarantine. I fucked up a brisket. I have no useful life skills. I can't relate to anybody. I don't feel connected.
I can't figure you out. Like, I mean, I watch the TV show and I think you're fucking insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the stunts you do, I mean, they're brilliantly funny. I laugh my ass off. I gotta figure most of your audience is male. It's like when my wife walks by, she's like, what the fuck are you watching? You know what I mean?
I've had women cross the street and go, I hate your show, but my boyfriend really loves it. Is it okay if we get a selfie? And I'm like, all right.
No, fuck you. You don't like my show. I'm not going to be in a selfie with you. Oh, man.
Yeah,
well,
it is a little bit polarizing. I wish it wasn't so gender polarizing, but the show is very violent and gross, and it's nonlinear. There's no story. So it doesn't do as well with the gals as it does with the guys. But Bad Trip did better with the gals because Tiffany Haddish had such an amazing role. It had a good gender balance, Bad Trip.
And yeah, that was your movie. I really loved that movie. I did.
Thank you.
How did it end up doing for you financially? Like what did
financially,
it do? You
put nothing. But and I do want to shout out my producer, the guy that produced Bad Trip, Dave Bernad, is in the hallway. White Lotus, Emmy Award winning White Lotus producer Dave Bernad saved Bad Trip from peril over and over again, and I want to give him his roses and his praise. Thank you, Dave. He's 10 feet away from me. So
no, I remember how much work you put into that thing, and I thought it was really funny. And you ended up releasing it in theaters, right? It was a
it was about to go out in theaters. It's supposed to premiere March 2020 at South by Southwest. COVID happened. The world shut down. Then it was nowhere. Then MGM was secretly trying to sell it to Quibi behind our backs. I don't know if you remember Quibi. It was a streaming service that lasted for 3 minutes. Right. And then they got caught and they kept telling us Netflix didn't want it.
Really?
Then Dave, who saved the day, sent it to the wrong person at Netflix, which is insane. And then Dave sent it to the right person. And Netflix was like, this is amazing. We love this. And it was the number one movie in the world. Number one movie in the U.S.
Was it? It deserved it.
Yeah.
It was
number one movie
funny
in the U.S. Number one movie in the world. And I made $0. I made the minimum SAG-AFTRA indie scale. The movie took 7.5 years to make, and I made I probably netted $17,000.
Unbelievable
story.
For
a decade of work. Dave made $0, by the way. David and Jeff Tremaine made $0 because it wasn't a theatrical release, but number one movie in the world.
What the fuck? Isn't it defeating? Seriously, Eric, I mean, that's enough to do whippets over it because you sit there and you go, there was a lot of fun in that movie, lots of great pranks and stunts, but also held together with a story.
Yeah.
And and I know how many years, seriously, in terms of like you thinking about it, wanting to do it, them writing it, and then going out and making it, that shit's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was almost 8 years. We watched Bad Grandpa, Jeff Tremaine's first like narrative prank movie with Knoxville in October 2013. And we were like, early days of Eric Andre Show, we're like, we want to do that. And then the movie came out on Netflix March 2021. So it was 8 years. 8 years from writing to...
In all seriousness, did you feel defeated? I mean, like, were you like, oh,
yeah. I mean, I was, it was miserable, man. I was breaking down. I mean, my dad found out he had cancer the day we were supposed to premiere at South by Southwest. It was horrible. It was dark days. Beginning of quarantine, I was just like in a bathrobe every day, drinking White Russians. I was like the Big Lebowski, just sitting on my couch, staring at the ground, drinking White Russians, just had a bottle of vodka next to my coffee table. It was dark. It was dark. But really? You know what? The success of the movie has opened other opportunities. So it's the beginning of a new chapter. Yes.
Yeah, Knoxville, Speaking of Johnny, you see, I got into a whole, did you hear my rap this morning about you and your party and all that?
No.
I did. First hour of the show is about you and the guys covering your 40th birthday party. And in all seriousness, I think you're a real talent, a real good comedy mind. You're fast and everything. And even, you know, but I mean, you really do. Maybe not as extreme as Knoxville, but you really do put yourself in danger. And I wonder, like, do you think seriously that you have a death wish? I mean, it seemed like you enjoy. How could you laugh at that? I mean,
well it's because I hang out with Knoxville and Sacha Baron Cohen now, and those guys have such a larger death wish than me. Like, I seriously think Sasha wants to be like assassinated by a politician, and I think Knoxville wants to be killed by a wild animal. So like, right. Those guys, they're my heroes, you know. They've raised the bar so high that like any little thing I do, I'm like, well, I didn't just get a brain hemorrhage from a bull. So they've skewed my reality of safety.
It's funny you mentioned those two guys, because your TV show really is a combo of those two guys.
Oh, yeah, they're my heroes. You know, they're huge influences on me.
Sacha Baron Cohen, what a genius, huh?
Genius. I mean, one time I was drinking at a bar with Knoxville. He's like crazy 24/7. I'm drinking at a bar with him. I'm with Jeff Tremaine. I'm standing up. It's a tiki bar. I'm trying to get the bartender's attention. I have sandals on, and my left foot feels like it's like in the greatest pain out of nowhere. I think I'm having the crazy allergic reaction. I look down at my feet. Knoxville has a bottle of 151 rum, and he poured it all over my left foot, and he's got a thing of matches, and he set my left foot on fire while I'm at the bar, and my foot is like engulfed in flames. I'm like, I'm trying to step it out. I'm stepping in more rum. It's like
the thing about that is that, like, there's no camera, right?
No camera. It was just like a Tuesday night, just a bunch of friends. I took my crew out. We were drinking. No camera. And then Knoxville goes, that was an accident.
That's so great. But you know what's great about it? I guess that you would think there was something too uptight about me. Like, if a guy did that to me, that's it. I'm never hanging around with him again. Oh. I don't want to know him. He go fuck himself. You know what I mean?
There's been times. I'm sensitive.
When Johnny was on our show, he said to me, he told me the story of, like, I don't know if it was during COVID or what, but when he tried to break into your house and then you called the police on him.
Oh, yeah.
What was that fucking deal from your end of it?
I had COVID for Christmas. I was going to go home, visit my family, and I got COVID. So I was like, fuck. And like, I was already vaccinated. So like, it wasn't kicking my ass too bad. I had a couple of days of brain fog and sickness, but then day three, I didn't feel sick at all. So I'm just like at home. I was eating mushrooms. I never smoked weed. I was smoking pot. I was making fucking eggnog, doing whippets, watching Bad Santa. I was just getting hammered. I couldn't do anything. It was Christmas.
But you see, you have COVID. You would think, hey, my immune system has to be strong to fight off COVID. Maybe. You don't think like that, right? In other words, you don't think, hey, I want to live till I'm 100 years old. You're like, let me go. This is a good opportunity to lay in bed and do whippets. I mean,
I was bored. I don't know.
But Eric, doesn't that, like, in your mind, you go, hey, I'm lowering my immune system.
A little bit. I'm of two minds. I don't know. I mean, COVID quarantine made me go nuts. I was like Jack Nicholson in The Shining halfway through quarantine, just being stuck in my house, Postmates and Uber Eats every meal. You start losing it.
Were you alone or you had
someone? No, I'm alone. I had COVID. I had to quarantine. So I'm getting hammered at my house by myself. And then I see Knoxville with this, like, I didn't know it's him at first.
Right, you're just sitting in your house.
I'm just sitting in my house, and I see somebody with, he had an Andy Warhol wig on, so I don't even recognize him, and he's toilet papering my house, and I have a gun next to my bed, so I open the window, and I'm like, I got a gun, I'm calling the police, I'm going to shoot you, and the guy's cracking up, and that's making me more mad. I just hear him laughing, and I see him filming me. I don't know, it's Knoxville. He's like filming me on his iPhone, and he's laughing. I was like, I got a fucking gun, I'll fucking kill you. I'm calling the police. The police are on their way. My alarm system's going off. And then he's pressing his face up against my window. And I'm like, fucking Knoxville. I was like, I was about to shoot you. And he goes, right. That would have been so fun. And we're about to do, Jackass was about to premiere. He'd be like, what better press would that have been if you had shot me and I went to the hospital or died right before the movie comes out? And I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, I just don't get you guys. You see, I think you're out of your mind. You see, you still don't understand my point. You've got COVID and you're doing drugs in your house because you're bored. And like, to me, I'd be like, I need to get rid of my COVID. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to just make sure I get healthy fast. You're not neurotic.
I am. I'm very neurotic. I think I'm between you and Knoxville in a sense where your whole career, people think you were nuts. You are nuts.
Right. Yes.
And you tell people, look, I'm in bed by 8:30 p.m. I meditate twice a day. I watercolor paint. I do chess. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people think you're eating out of a garbage can on Sixth Avenue every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a little bit of that. I meditate twice a day. I go to therapy three times a week. I journal.
I do
Tai Chi and Qigong. Yeah. I'm like.
You see, I buy into you. Like, I wouldn't hang with you because I think you're insane.
No, I turn it up on both. I turn it up when it's time to, you know, my birthday party, I turn it all the way up. If you're hanging out with Knoxville, he's going to set your foot on fire. That's just the situation.
But your attitude is, I'm not mad at Johnny. That's Johnny, you know. Like, when you did that stint in the last Jackass film.
Yeah.
And they take that thing, you go up and they say, hey, you know, there's a food truck and you go up to get a coffee and you walk up and this big fucking thing smacks you in the face and knocks your ass down.
Brutal.
That had to hurt, right?
Yeah. And it's shocking. You're not embracing for like, when something's about to hit you, you like embrace for it. There was no, you know, anticipating it. This thing just knocked me. It was an airbag, but it just uppercutted me and knocked me on my ass. Fucked me up.
And then you get up and go, oh, that was funny. Like me, I'd be like, oh, maybe I hit my head and I have a brain injury. You know, you don't have that mechanism.
Yeah.
You thought it was great, right?
I thought it was great. Well, I was so happy I got good footage. I was like, that's going to be in the movie. That's all I thought. I was like, that's going to be in the movie. Like, we got the footage.
Being on the set of the Jackass Forever, you know, you're in the Vietnam of comedy.
Yeah.
And you, who I think is crazy, you go, I think those guys are crazy because I don't think they experience pain. I mean, when you see what those guys are doing, they're on a whole nother fucking level.
They don't experience pain. I'm doing this show with Knoxville, with Kimmel and Knoxville now.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about that. Explain to my audience what it is.
It's called Prank Panel, and it's basically Shark Tank for pranks. People come on, they pitch us pranks. And me and Knoxville and Gabrie Sidibe are like the three judges, American Idol style. And we decide whether or not we want to produce a person's prank or not. But Knoxville's pranking me the whole time. He's tasing me. He's got a different weapon on him every day.
Yeah.
And so I call Jeff Tremaine. I go, Jeff, I don't know what to do. Knoxville, every day I go to work, something's popping out of a wall or he's like hitting me with a taser or something. And Jeff goes, well, he's never going to stop. So you got to hit him back. So I have this giant stun gun next to my bed. So it's like a police grade stun gun. So I was like, all right, I guess I got to hit him. I don't want to because I'm going to hit him. He's going to hit back. But what can I do? So I go to work. I have like a long sleeve thing on, pants, and this like police grade. It looks like a baton, but it's a stun gun.
This is your work.
So, yeah. So he's talking to the guest. This lady comes on from like wherever, Schenectady. She comes on and she's like, hey, I want to prank my cousin, da da da. She's explaining. And while Knox was not looking, I take this stun gun out and I hit him right in the heart with it, like in the center of his chest.
Oh my God.
But he's like the liquid Terminator. The guy's so impervious to pain. Like that's like a little pinch. Him. The guy's been hit by both 16 concussions, brain hemorrhage. That's nothing to him. So I hit him in the heart with his stun gun, and he just starts looking at me while he's being electrocuted, and then he grabs it out of my hand, and then he just starts attacking me with it. And he's running on, and he has another one in his pocket. So he takes out another one, and he has mine. He gets me on the floor. He's just lighting me up with two stun guns. Bam, 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 bam. And I run for my life. I run out of studio and I quit. I quit the show. I was like, this guy is like working with the liquid Terminator. I can't prank him back because he doesn't feel pain.
Right.
And like if and the more I prank him back, the more he's going to torture me. So I quit that weekend. Then he begged me back. Then I went out. Then like I hit him.
Did he think you were a pussy because like, you know, you quit?
No,
the
he's
show?
Like oh. you. He's very sensitive. So he's like. He's like, I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? Like I don't want you to. He goes, hey, we got this new show. We get to be punk rock on ABC's airwaves. Let's just do our punk rock thing, and it's gonna be okay. And I'm like, okay, yeah. It was like Ike Turner talking Tina Turner back into coming on stage. You know what I mean?
right.
It's gonna be okay, baby.
Oh, baby, I'm never gonna do that to you again. Yeah. I love you. Yeah, don't you know
like
I love
that.
You?
It was like that. Yeah, it was like Ike. Yeah. So I get back to work the next day, and I hit him, and I rig a little squirt gun. Under his desk, I hit him in the crotch with a squirt gun, and he gets real like, and he's like, and I see like he's getting angry, and I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. And I turn to look at one of the producers. He hits me with a taser in the neck. Bam! Unbelievable pain, like pain that shot up to my brain, and I quit. I was like, I'm out. I can't. I have to quit. I would go, I love you. I worship you. I grew up watching your stuff. I love you to death. But I can't do that. This is a nightmare. So he's like, all right, no more weapons at work. If you don't bring weapons to work, I won't bring weapons to work. So that was our truce. It's like, no more weapons. I mean, Gabby had pepper spray on her at one point.
Oh my God.
We all were like armed at one point.
When I watch this show on ABC, will I see all of that?
Yeah. That's what I told him. I go, I'm coming back. We'll have a truce, but air it. I mean, like, don't put me through all that pain and then don't air it. You got to air it.
You know what's going to happen. That's going to be the best part of the show.
And
you two maniacs are going to end up killing each other. I mean, when you tase someone in the heart, you could have actually just induced a heart attack in him, I assume.
It not only did it not induce a heart attack, it made him stronger. He was just like, looked at me while he was getting electrocuted, and he was like, and then took the weapon out of my hand. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. It was insane. It was like a James Bond villain. It was like Jaws or something.
This is the craziest fuck. So Jimmy Kimmel produces it, and you guys are the
Kimmel
stars.
Had to call me every day and be like, hey, I'm really sorry getting hit with weapons. Kimmel would be like my therapist every day.
Oh my God. But Gabourey Sidibe, what is she involved in stunts and things? Is that why
she is now? She is now. We threw her in the deep end. She's great, though. She's super charming, charismatic, hilarious, rolls with the punches. She totally gets the.
And she got nervous and came in with pepper spray and was going to spray you two guys down.
Yeah, because we're hitting each other with weapons every day. So she's like, I got to defend myself.
Right.
It's like,
Johnny,
it's like filming in Guantanamo Bay in here.
I mean, it's so you're serious. I mean, you quit the show.
Oh, ask Knoxville. I quit. I quit. Ask Kimmel. I kept quitting. I was like, this is. And I felt bad. I was like, dude, I love Jackass. I totally understand your shtick, and I support it. I just can't be a part of it. It's a nightmare. I can't go into my dressing room, somebody locks a door behind me, and then like snakes and venomous fucking scorpions come down from the ceiling every day. He's not gonna do that to Gabby. Like, he's not gonna hit Gabby with a stun gun. He's only gonna hit me. I'm the only one else on camera, so I'm gonna be like all nine Jackass guys get it, but they get it in like little increments. I was like all nine Jackass guys in one guy, so I was just getting lit up to the bottom. I was like, this is rough.
My god. I mean, you know, I remember when I went on America's Got Talent, I had been watching the previous season, and Piers Morgan used to get these pranks played on him by Howie Mandel. Howie would like move a refrigerator in front of his door and all this kind of shit. And I get there like the first day on the set. Now I'm the new guy. I'm taking over for Piers Morgan. Yeah. And Howie starts some nonsense, and I pulled him aside. I said, listen, dude.
Yeah.
I used to watch you with Piers and all this.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to fucking prank me.
Yeah.
I'm not putting up with it. What I'm going to do is I'm going on the air the next day. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to fucking get on the air and fucking tell my fans to torture you to the point that you're going to want to stop living. I said, I've done it and I'll do it again. And he goes, no problem. Gotcha. Yeah. And we never did any of that shit.
Yeah.
We worked it out. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but if you say something like that to Knoxville, he'll be like, oh, hell yeah, it's on, prank war. Then he'll smash all your car windows out and, like, pop your tires. And
what do you think is wrong? What do you think, Eric, seriously, you've been in psychotherapy. What do you think is wrong with Johnny? Like, I mean, you at least have some limits. I mean, is something really wrong with this guy?
He found his shtick. He's like this, he's a high pain tolerance. He loves physical comedy. He's the funniest stuntman that's ever existed. So he's like as equally comedic as he is brave at actual physical harm. He's a unique, he's from Knoxville, Tennessee. He's from like the right. Appalachians. He's like an Appalachian. He's like a hillbilly, really. He's like,
but really, the new season. Maybe I'm giving away some things, but maybe not. I think this will get people to watch. I got to talk about some of the things I see on your new season. I mean, you're in the Johnny Knoxville craziness thing. First of all, So Eric throws a 40th birthday party for himself this year. And by the way, I applaud you because you get this house in Queens. And you set it up with all this crazy shit in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a storage facility or something. And you convert it into the Knoxville Center. And and it's crazy. It's like a fun night of craziness.
Yeah.
I don't even know how financially you do it because you had about 3,000 people in that place.
Yeah.
And to build that thing and to build some of the craziness into it so that the audience, it's almost like Disneyland for wackos.
Yeah.
I used to do a thing. I used to throw a prom. Years ago, I would do live shows, 4 of them in a weekend. And we'd throw a prom for people who never got to go to their prom. And it was fucking crazy. People were taking high heels and sticking them up each other's ass. It was fucking nuts. You know what I mean? And I remember I couldn't afford time to do any of the things right. I wanted to. You know what I mean? How do you afford? Like, I know you probably make about $300,000 that weekend in ticket sales, but then to rent that place,
yeah,
the insurance must be insane.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't possibly make any money.
Yeah, I didn't do it for the money. I didn't do it to make money. I've always gone nuts for my birthday. We sold tickets and we got a sponsor or two, and that was enough. There's a bunch of stuff I, you know, wanted to also get, but there's also like illegal stuff I couldn't do. Like I had a drug pinata a few years ago, and it was this pinata. It was filled with acid and ecstasy. But now Live Nation was doing the thing. They're like, we can't put illegal drugs in the, we're liable. And I go, all right, just get legal drugs. So I got a pinata this year and it was full of poppers, Whippets, and Newport cigarettes. So I was like, that was like, so there are compromises like that right, that had to be made. Right. But poor I still you. Went hard. There was, my favorite thing, there was a men's bathroom downstairs that just said men's on it. But when you open up the door, there was this guy fisting another guy in the room. So dudes would walk in and it was just this big bear ramming his entire like elbow deep up this other guy. Yeah,
but don't you worry that someone's going to kill themselves at this thing or you're going to die at one of these birthday parties. Like I was real, like you, the amount of nitrous oxide you consume.
Yeah.
And I know you think it's safe because dentists give it to people. It's safe to get. But you, like, I mean, you had a canister of nitrous on stage with you. Then you got so fucked up, you dove into the audience. Yeah. And then you people were sticking fingers up your ass, doing all kinds of crazy shit. And then you get back on stage and you're so hopped up on nitrous. And then someone stole the can of nitrous and you went fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't find.
And daddy needs his medicine.
Yeah, but don't you think you do too much nitrous oxide? Can it affect you? Can it fuck your heart up?
Probably, but I had my friend's a drug scientist, and he told me this. He goes, the two most dangerous drugs you can do are alcohol and heroin. So he goes, pretty much every drug is safer than alcohol besides opiates. So he goes, alcohol is so corrosive, cancerous, addictive. It's the only withdrawal you can die from. So he goes, and I was like, what about Whippets? I do nitrous oxide a lot. He goes, the solvents in the actual Whippet thing probably aren't great for you if you can filter those out. But the stuff the dentist gives you, he goes, as long as you take vitamin B12, you're going to be okay. It was also my birthday, so I laid it on a little bit thick. But
can you
I don't know,
do
life's
whole
about balance. I try to be healthy, but it's not the most fun thing to be.
can you do a whole canister?
I've been through tanks. I used to get tanks from the sketchy auto warehouse place. I would have like two tanks on each side of my sofa and just be like ripping through
those four-foot canisters.
Yeah, like the giant.
Oh my God.
Like it looks like what like you see at a kid's party for the helium balloon, like that, but not helium, nitrous oxide.
In other words, the high only lasts for like 10 seconds.
It's very fleeting. Very fleeting.
So you would suck it down and just go. And in other words, it would keep you high.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
doesn't scare you at all. That scares me for you. I worry about you.
I appreciate the worry. I think I'm okay. I get blood work done once a year. I do my physical. My yearly physical. You know, should I go to one of those places that scans your whole body for cancer cells and they can predict when you die and all those like future?
It's a weird thing. I went for the scan and they saw something on my kidney. See, I'm a mixed belief.
Right.
There are people I know who literally got the scan and they found the worst kind of cancer that you can get, which is the pancreas.
Yeah. So my
but
dad
they caught it so early that they lived.
Yeah.
They caught it in stage two.
Yeah.
Now, with me, they did the whole body scan. They found this dot on my kidney. Go to the specialist. He says, 95% chance you got cancer on there. We got to do surgery. I'm in there for fucking 7 hours. Oof. They're punching holes in my belly. And I mean, it was wild. I wake up. I'm fucked up. Guy goes, hey, good news. It was just a little cyst.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, well, what happened to my cancer? He goes, well, that's good news. I go, yeah, but I just went through all of it. So, you know, you don't know, you know, so do you go for
I'm
it?
I'm thinking he should make do a cognitive test as well.
Well, I got it. You know what? I'm going to tell you what I thought happened. I was tremendously impressed when you were dating Emily Ratajkowski.
I
was very impressed. Okay. Like, I'm like, way to go, Eric. Like, fuck, that's awesome. But and then it ended kind of suddenly and nobody knows what happened, but here's my fantasy. You're just too fucking crazy. I mean, she was probably like scared, like dug you and everything. And you're funny, but like, you know, you probably brought out the two big fucking tanks of whippet. And she's like, what the fuck? This is like a madman. That's what I think happened. Do you go there with me and tell me, is that what happened? That she just said, hey, look, Eric, you're a great guy, but I think we should be friends.
The nitrous tank. Yeah, the nitrous tanks came out. She was like, I've had enough.
Is that true?
No.
Were you too much? Like, you can't be in a relationship, right?
I aspire to be.
So did you fuck up that situation?
A gentleman never tells, Howard.
I know.
I must respect the privacy and boundaries of.
Okay. I respect that. And yeah. I agree with you on that. Yeah, and I'm not asking you fucking her. I'm not asking because I can't imagine. First of all, I don't even know I could get my penis in her because I'd come before her. I'd shoot my load before her. Like if she stood there naked, that would be enough. I'd say, hey, you know what? We can go out. You just fucking stand there naked and I'll just shoot my load. I just have to look at you. So I'm not asking any of that. I understand.
Uh-huh. You know,
but I thought you were going to lock in. Like, that's it. Uh-huh. Eric's done. Like, this, he's not going to go to, this is it.
Uh-huh.
I'll be going to the wedding. Uh-huh. It'll be interesting. A lot of nitrous there. I think you scared her off. You're too much. You got your foot lit on fire.
Okay, what I mean? Do you want to matchmake me? Maybe I should start dating Robin. That's what I was.
Oh God, no.
Robin couldn't handle you.
You don't think so?
No,
I think she. I disagree. I think she's the perfect yin to my yang.
I think
all the time I'm sitting there laughing at your TV show. It's like I'm feeling guilty
because you're
for
love.
Even laughing.
Yeah, that's called falling in love.
Oh,
I was envious.
I just think there's a chemistry here that we're not thinking about.
I was envious of your Instagram post with her when you were naked.
You seemed upset for a second.
I'll tell you why I'm upset. And this is the same reason I was upset when you went on stage at your birthday party and tucked your penis behind you so you could pretend to be a woman. You have a big, thick cock. And so you're not worried when you tuck your penis in on stage right. that it's going to slip out. In fact, you probably hope it does. You know what I mean? And when you were in the picture with Emily Ratajkowski for Valentine's Day,
yeah.
and you're laying on the couch with your legs spread open and yeah. your cock out, and she's standing there naked, I went, son of a bitch, Eric can do shit like that. He's got a big cock. There's nothing funny about this. You know what I mean? I was envious.
You could do it. You and Beth could do that photo next Valentine. No. Why not?
I got a little cock. I don't want to.
Nah, they got all types of crazy pills now. You could get a. Why don't you get a cock implant?
No way.
Why not?
Not fucking with it. Nah, because my cock works good.
Big Shaquille O'Neal.
Meanwhile, talking about.
I'm sure
cock.
Your cock is fine. I think you're it's too okay. hard on your cock. You're a tall guy, so maybe it's a That's regular it. Size cock. But because you're so tall, it
looks
better
small. Be careful with your cock, too, because I notice you use the funniest thing on the new show, the new season. What do you call it when those two people come running out and they're playing, like, tennis with their cocks?
Oh, Penis and Sir Wiener Williams. We got two male strippers to dress like Venus and Serena Williams and play tennis with their cocks
in front of Jaleel White, Urkel. It's like... Penis and what is it?
Penis and Sir Wiener Williams. And they came out and they started playing tennis with their cocks. And Jaleel White had no idea what was going on. And he just saw these guys with two massive cocks just hitting and they were pretty good. They were volleying for a while.
You know why I think it's funnier now? I didn't realize this. I thought when you get a guy like Jaleel White to be the guest on your show, I thought Jaleel White is like a fan of the show and you call him and he comes on the show.
No.
It's not that at all.
No. We dupe people into coming into that studio. We tell them the bare minimum. We have a lot of tricks, some that I can't reveal, to get them into that studio, and they know nothing. I mean, if they recognize me and they've seen the show, I can't help that, but he knew nothing. He definitely didn't know he was going to see two grown men play tennis with their cocks at the end of that interview.
And if I remember right, correct me, because I loved it. That was the one where you're the host of the talk show, of course, and then you go around jerking off everything on the set.
Yeah.
You jerk off the coffee can, you jerk off a bottle, you
the
jerk
lamps.
Everything
the
is shooting a load.
Yes.
The light. Yeah, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Jaleel White, when he's watching you sitting there jerking off the set.
Yeah.
He has no clue what the fuck is going on.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know what's going on.
Was he pissed afterwards? After
he was
Sir Wiener?
he was in shock. He was in shock. I wouldn't say he was pissed. I think he was processing a tremendous amount of stimulus, information, and emotion.
So, have you ever wasted your time where you get a guest in there and you get them there under false pretenses? But they know they're going to be on a TV show, so I guess you can use it.
Have them sign the release form first. We don't have them sign the release form afterwards. We have them sign the release form.
Was anybody ever really pissed?
Oh, yeah. We had people walk out. Lauren Conrad from The Hills, she walked out. I vomited on the desk during the interview. Then I slurped the vomit back up, and she didn't take kindly to that. And then T.I., the rapper T.I., walked out because there was a lot of full frontal male nudity as well in this interview.
That didn't go over.
And, the rappers from the South don't always want to see men's penises.
I'd be afraid to do that in front of T.I.
Yeah, he was upset. He was pissed. He also lurked around the hallway afterwards, kind of like menacingly. I just be like, hey, thanks for coming on the show. And like zip into my dressing room, close the door.
I vey. Yeah. Did anyone ever try to hit you afterwards? Or
people try to hit me in street pranks, but not celebrities on the show. They have much more money than I do, so I don't think they want to. They don't want to punch me.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is why I think you're as crazy as Johnny Knoxville. You could give him run for his money.
Mm.
Some of the pranks you do on the street are just fucking insane this year.
Yeah,
and you've said that. The police have been called more times this year than any other year.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I'm just, these are random things I've heard. One of the things you wanted to do was drive a car, stage it, driving a car into a parade of people and see the reaction of people watching this. And I think Adult Swim even put a stop to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like a season one prank I wrote. And I think as I got older, I realized that's a little too dangerous, maybe.
Who wrote the bit where, I think this is the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV, where you're blowing the invisible man. And then the invisible man, then you turn him, you turn him over and you're eating out his asshole.
Yes, in front of Damon John from Shark Tank. And he was uncomfortable.
It was so funny. I mean, it's just so funny. They lower that suit.
What was it for me? He keeps saying no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But you do it. So what is the invisible man how is he making you do all that?
You know what? It was a little narrative that me and the invisible man put together, and Damon John was witnessing it, and he was struggling. He was struggling a lot. We also, not even in the edit, I mean, we filmed the interviews for like an hour, and because my show's 11 minutes long, we can only show like 2 minutes of an hour long interview. So we had like dildos popping out of my coffee cup, and we had a pussy on the front of my desk, and I was like inseminating the pussy. So a lot was coming at him that might have not. I don't even remember if it's in the edit or not. So he was when by the end of it, he was a little bit verklempt.
When you were doing the bit where you're driving an Uber and then you start driving crazy, you have a real victim in there. You know, you have a real passenger in there. Yeah. And at one point, one guy looks like he's just going to fucking clobber you.
Oh, yeah. He was going to punch me.
Yeah. I mean, is there like a way to get out of the car because you know someone could really pop you and really hurt you?
Not while it's driving. I didn't really think somebody would be that mad. And I was like, this guy's going to punch me. And I slowly came to a halt, and I think I hopped out, and I might have called it after that. But, you know, after bad trip, Lil Rel and I got a knife pulled out on us, and, you know, I pranked Alex Jones at the Republican National Convention one year and for like at a Bikers for Trump rally, and all these alt-right dudes were like kind of pummeling me in this like mosh pit. So it gets hairy sometimes. It gets a little hairy, but like I said, Knoxville and Sacha Baron Cohen, they raise the bar so high. If you don't try to match them at least halfway, like the audience is, you know, check out a little bit.
How'd you get to be friends with Sacha Baron Cohen? Like, how'd that all come about?
You know, it's a small world, the prank community. We all kind of know each other. We all kind of share the same writers and same crew. And I think he invited me to a test screening. I think he reached out to me through Instagram and invited me to a test screening a while ago. And then we share a lot of mutual friends and writers that we have in common. And then we just became buds.
Wow.
He's the best.
So is it? Do you guys get together? I mean, that must be a while.
Yeah, I used to go play basketball over at his house.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, Gary Shandling used to have a basketball night, and he donated it to Sasha. And, you know, so it'd be like me and Nathan Fielder and Sarah Silverman over there playing basketball. I'm horrible at basketball. He's actually pretty good at basketball. He's tall. He's might be as tall as you. He can drive to the hoop. He's a pretty good basketball player. I was piss poor.
Yeah.
I was the only black guy on the court, and I was the most miserable basketball player.
So when you say the police show up, I want to understand how this works.
Wait, for Knoxville or for the show?
No, for you.
Eric Andre's show. Yeah.
Yeah, because to me, it seems to me like you're dangerously close where cops might not know what's going on.
Yeah, we had a rough one this year in New Jersey.
Is this the donut thing?
Where I'm feeding the cop the donut with the cop's legend?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough. That was the first prank we shot this year.
Explain it to the audience, what happened and why the police showed up.
So the person we're pranking thinks they're doing graffiti removal. They're just in this abandoned parking lot, and they're like rubbing graffiti off a wall outside. And we hid this cop who was an actor, this like very bloody unconscious cop under this like Home Depot tarp. And then I walked up and I'm like, dude, check out this cop. And I rip off the tarp. I'm like, dude, these kids beat him up. He was handing out traffic tickets and people got pissed at him. Isn't that hilarious? And the guy's like, holy shit, you got to call 911. What the fuck? I was like, nah, man, let's just feed him donuts and jack him off and get him back to health. So I start feeding the cop donuts and like jerking the unconscious cop off and doing whippets on the show. And the guy we're pranking is like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, that cop's seriously injured. I was like, nah, if he ejaculates, he'll be back to health. And so while I'm like doing my shtick, the guy's calling 911, and then like 50 Newark cops show up in an instant. Cause the guy's going, officer down, we're on whatever the cross streets are. Officer down. And then they show up and I'm jerking off this cop. That's like, what? And I just stopped jerking him off and I just slowly walked with my hands up to the van where all my crew is hiding in. And I was like, And the cops, right before like anything got hairy, my producers, everybody jumped out of the van and showed their cameras, and they were like, "Hey, we're doing a prank show." Aye. And man, did the cops not have a shared sense of humor about that particular segment?
Do they ever pull you in? Like,
I got arrested. Yeah, season one, I got arrested, and I went to jail.
No shit. What was that for?
It was the stupidest prank ever. It's not even a good prank. I was at a town hall meeting in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And while the mayor was talking, I was like dressed like a frat boy. And I ran up to the podium and I was like, hey, guys, vote for me for class president. And I'll put beer in the water fountains, y'all. Woo! And there was like 20 sheriffs there. And they all descended on me, pulled me outside. And they were like, how wasted are you? What drugs are you on? And I was like nailing the sobriety test, like saying the alphabet backwards and touching my nose, ZYXWVUT or whatever. And they go, what's your name? And I told them my name was John Coltrane. So they started looking up John Coltrane in their system. And then I got two charges, disturbing the peace and lying to a cop, which is called something like interrupting an investigation or something like that. And they took me to like the big, crazy, scary jail. Like I spent a night in. Not the little drunk tank, like the big gnarly, like San Bernardino County prison with a bunch of.
Were you scared out of your mind?
My mind. It was a nightmare. It smells like flesh in there. Everybody's taking a shit in front of each other in like the open air toilet. Everybody.
Joke's on you, son.
Oh my God. It was a nightmare. Everybody like looked like characters from Breaking Bad, like meth heads and like. Oakland like, Raiders fans.
Like, do you ever wish like you just did traditional stand-up comedy? Yeah. Like you ever, when you're in sitting in jail, do you ever say like maybe like I'm you know, because you're funny. I mean, you're fast. Like you right away you go, John Coltrane, that's my name. You know, it's like you could be you know, just like a traditional kind of stand-up guy and not go through all this hell. Do you ever say that to yourself?
Yeah, but I don't think I'd be where I am today if I didn't go a little extra mile and
it's great.
Put myself out there.
There was one bit I thought you were going to get killed where you walk into that open house, the realtor is selling a house and you just are fucking in little tiny short shorts and your balls are practically hanging out. You go in there and you're like skating through the guy's house and ruining it. I'm like, how the fuck is this guy? Hey, there's some great stuff. The lady with the giant bug in the office and you're the exterminator.
Oh, yeah. That's the
fucking
best one.
Fucking great. That's really good.
That's the best
And that
one.
Chucky, that live Chucky doll too.
That
was really good.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
good.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a perfect switcheroo. I had the real doll, then a little person as the doll. We distracted Carucci, and then like they switched out before she noticed. It was perfect.
Yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah.
I was laughing my ass off when you're the guy from the morgue, and you got all these dead bodies, and they're falling out onto the street, and then you pick one up, and you just say, fuck this, and you throw it into traffic, and a car runs it over. It's like... How the fuck did you come up with that one? Was that a prank of yours? I mean, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with all my favorite writers in a writer's room. And then me and my writing partner, Dan Curry, we cull through all the notes. And that one, Jeff Tremaine helped write that specific one. He co-directed this season, him and Kitao Sakurai, my other director, like, so we're all kind of, it's a collaborative effort. We're all kind of like bringing all our friends in to help us come up with stuff and tweaking it all the way into production. Even while we're shooting, we're tweaking.
Is the editing the hard part? Because I imagine a lot of that shit you get out on the street is pretty fucking funny, and I bet you throw away a lot of the funny stuff.
Oh, yeah, like, especially
that morgue bit. I could watch that all night. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, you shoot like crazy for pranks because they fail all the time. Only like 90% of, only like 10% of the stuff you shoot that airs is the cream of the crop. Like 90% of it goes in the trash.
Like where you're the crazy morgue dude. And you're all the bodies are dropping out. How many times do you think you ran that prank before you got something good?
That prank, we might have gotten lucky. I think we only ran that prank a couple times to get that reaction. But sometimes it takes all day, multiple days to just get one two-minute prank the right way. Yeah, you fail. It's a lot of trial and error.
I think I asked you this before, but like the opening of the show, when you hurl yourself through the, you know, through that sign that says the Eric Andre Show or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Is that you physically going through the sign or do you have a stuntman that comes in at the last minute and jumps through?
I almost always do it. One year I got a concussion really bad and the doctor like didn't let me do it. For the most part, it's me. For the past 10 years, I've been chucking my body all over that set. All through the furniture. I used to not do it with a stunt coordinator. I used to not do it with any pads. I used to not do it with any catcher. I would just go right into the concrete every time. And then like three seasons into the show, one of the producers went, why don't you wear pads and get a stunt coordinator so you know how to fall the right way? And I was like, oh, stunt coordinator, what's that?
<They're> like,
that's
never heard
that teaches that to how to do the stunt right so you don't get hurt. And I'm like, that's a brilliant idea.
Are you getting banged up pretty? I mean, are you like able to walk okay or do you get aches and pains?
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Yeah. Because did Knoxville ever tell you he sticks a catheter up his penis?
Oh,
like,
yeah. He broke his urethra.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's he's hardcore, man. He's got 16 concussions. Like, I've got like one concussion.
I like when you go, he's crazy. When Eric Andre's telling you you're crazy, you're fucking crazy. Because I think you're crazy. I really, truly do. By the way, tell me if this is true. I understand one of your guests this season that you somehow finagled into coming into your studio is John Hamm, the actor.
Yes.
And he's going to appear. And he complimented you. He said you have a really big cock. And he's got like the biggest cock.
Yeah. He saw my cock right away. I had this tearaway suit. That was like, it's kind of like sewn into these wires. So he came out, ladies and gentlemen, John Hamm, he entered as he's walking over to me. I got up and all these stage hands backstage, boom, ripped off my clothes. I was butt naked. So he saw the full, full Monty. He really, he saw it all. He's well endowed.
Right.
Him and Idris Elba. If John Hamm or Idris Elba tell you, you got a nice cock. That's a good day.
How many inches are you, honestly?
I don't know. I never measured.
You've never measured?
I grew up with the metric system and I measured it in centimeters. So I feel bigger.
I don't know what that, I can't handle that. But you must have a lot of centimeters. And John Hamm, I mean, I don't know what you did to him, but he must have been like, whoa, this is fucking nuts. And this is a guy who's like an A-list guy, right?
Yeah. He was great, man. We had I'm trying to think besides showing him my cock, what I did. Oh, we had a magic act trick where I put a woman in the desk and I went to saw her in half, but then I just like actually sawed her in half and all this blood was spraying everywhere.
Oh, wow.
She was screaming. Yeah.
And afterwards he had no idea he was going to be on your show and he was like, cool with it. He was like, hey, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. He's like the most confident man in the world. When you have John Hamm's cock, you're the most confident. And he's the most handsome. That's one handsome guy. He looks like Woody from Toy Story. That jaw. Yeah. I wish I had that jaw. I have a weak chin.
I can't imagine what it's like to have that big a cock and to be that good looking. Nah. Like, God shouldn't give you everything. Okay, I don't mind
God shouldn't give you everything.
No offense. I'm not calling you ugly, but, God shouldn't give. God gave you a big cock, fine. You got enough. You know what I'm saying? John Hamm gets the big cock in the face, too,
to go with fair. It. It's not fair.
Total bullshit.
I know.
Total bullshit.
I agree.
Yeah. Hey, on a serious note, you know, it's hard to be serious with you sometimes because you're so, you know, I think you're so funny. But so what, you're involved in a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. And so you were at the airport and you got searched. And you're, the basis of the lawsuit, I probably have this all wrong, you'll explain it, but the basis sure. of the lawsuit is these guys searched you because you're black.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what happened exactly? And what
it was
what
the biggest
down?
Bullshit. So I'm filming Righteous Gemstones with Danny McBride in South Carolina. And I have a connecting flight. I got to connect through Atlanta to go back to L.A. And then I'm in the Delta Lounge, whatever, waiting for my flight. I go into the little jet bridge, and these two plainclothes cops that I didn't know were cops just like ambush me as I'm like walking to the on that little awkward claustrophobic narrow jet bridge to the plane. And they're like, hey, we have reason to believe that there's drugs being transported through this airport. Are you carrying drugs? Do you have marijuana on you? Do you have pills on you that aren't prescribed to you? Do you have heroin? Do you have cocaine? Like drilling me. It's basically stop and frisk. And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? No. And then they're like, do we have permission to search you? And I go, do I have to say yes? And the guy was like, God, no. And then I was like, that was really strange. And I got on the plane. I started texting a couple of friends of mine that are lawyers. They were like, that is bullshit. You should like tweet to the mayor of Atlanta or something because I'm in Atlanta. I started tweeting to the mayor of Atlanta, Atlanta PD. They're like, that's not us. Turns out it's like the neighboring county, Clayton County. And they were doing this whole racial profiling procedure where they would stop, like the majority of the people they stopped were black and brown people. And they would shake them down for money. They would go, do you have any drugs on you? And if they did find drugs, they'd be like, we can either take you to jail right now or give us all the cash you have on you. Oh. So they were just shaking black people down for cash. If they found like a vape pen or like one little nug of weed on them, they'd be like, give me all the cash you have on you. And they were raking in tons of money by doing
so. Is this like a suit that you're in with a bunch of people who were all profiled or?
Yeah. So other people started coming out of the woodworks, and another buddy of mine, Clayton English, who's a comedian, black comedian. He said the exact same thing happened to him, but he said yes. And they searched through every nook and cranny of his bag on the jet bridge in front of everybody. And it's like humiliating. And and it turned out they've been doing this for a while, and they've been just like,
so when is this case going to happen? When are you going to?
I don't know. I mean, these things move slowly. So,
and what's their defense? They're saying, I'm sure, hey, we didn't do this. We searched people, but we didn't ask them for money. And that kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. Oh no, it's a random search. There's no racial profiling, but if it was a random search, the stats, I wish I had the stats memorized. The stats were something insane. Like, only 10 or 11%. I don't have the stats right, so maybe I don't want to say it, but it was something really low. The amount of people that fly, people of color that fly, was like down by 10 or 11%. And the amount of people they were pulling over was like 50, 60, 70, 80% people of color. It like didn't match up at all if it was an actual random search. I want to look up the stats and put them out on my social media to get them exactly right. I don't want to.
When I was reading about this, I said, Eric's got to go into court and do the rip-away suit bit where you walk in and you just, you're naked in front of the judge. I mean, just you gotta do something.
I might lose the case if that's the strategy, but I could try.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, it's worth losing.
At least when you're going through the airport, you should have the rip-away suit. So hey, go ahead.
Yeah, distract them.
Don't worry, officer. My clothes come right off. Or just when they put you up on the stand, go up there and blow the invisible man again. Do that routine. Just make a mockery of the whole case. Hey, so I was thinking about you.
Yeah.
And I get all the guys who work on the show go, Eric's out of his fucking mind. Let's give him a question. What would you be willing to do as a prank?
Okay.
I want to see where you draw the line.
Sure.
We did make a list. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Would you drink your own cum?
Ooh, I've drank my own hot piss before during an interview.
Cum? What? What do you mean? Hold it. Don't just move away from that. during an interview. Yeah. Was it a job interview?
No.
During the Eric Andre Show.
Right.
What was the guy's name? He had a really normcore name. It was like Chad Smith. Yep. It was a reality show guy, like a hunky bachelor type of guy. And I just got completely naked in front of him, pissed in my coffee mug, and chugged the whole thing off my own hot piss.
Oh, my God.
But cum is viscous. Cum is a little bit boogery. Also, when I urinate, I feel like relief. When I cum, I feel embarrassment afterwards. I'm in a different
shame.
Shame and embarrassment after I cum. I'm in a different mental space. So I don't know. Maybe in the heat of the moment. Depends on who I'm interviewing.
When you're in therapy,
yeah,
it must be really interesting because, like, do you have any clue as to why you would go as far as drinking your own piss? Like, do you think that it has something to do with, like, here's my theory. And again, I know we've talked about your background and stuff. I know your mom was Jewish, right?
One yep.
Jewish woman, and your dad yep. was a black man.
Yeah.
And he was from Haiti, I believe. If I got it.
My dad's from Haiti. Yeah, he was from Haiti.
Yeah. And they divorced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's like, I want to be seen so bad, like your parents didn't know you and didn't really hear you and you felt invisible and you just wanted to be loved?
Maybe.
What do you think? No, I hate to get too heavy. But.
No. I don't mind getting heavy. I think, like, you can't pathologize. That's the word, right? You can't pathologize everything. I think, like, in the heat of the moment on my show,
yeah,
I want to be shocking.
Right. Understood by me.
Yes, I want to be, I want to do something that no one else would do. I want to do something that would stand out, that no one would ever experience during an interview. Does it come from...
Don't you think you have you really want to be loved, honestly?
Yes, but I would say everyone wants to be loved. I'd say everyone has their, everyone has trauma, big or small, from their childhood. Everyone wants to be loved. Do I drink my own pee during an interview because I want to be loved? Yeah, maybe.
Yep. Maybe. I think so. Probably. Like I know I've gone into like I go, geez, I went on MTV, showed my ass cheeks.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not attractive and all that. But I think at the end of the day, I just really wanted people.
Yeah.
I have such a bad self-image inside. Yeah. I just feel like this horrible fucking, I don't know, someone who doesn't deserve to be loved at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Right.
It's painful.
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's wanting to be understood as well. It's not just wanting to be loved. I think it's wanting to be understood. I feel like you and I have specific point of views. And didn't feel understood or accepted growing up. I didn't. I felt out of place. I grew up in Boca Raton, Florida, where only elderly Jewish people from Long Island and New Jersey go to retire. I grew up around just geriatrics and octogenarians. A strange place for a kid to grow up. So I felt very out of place. It's also very kind of boring and homogenized. It's just public supermarkets and Walgreens everywhere. It's just people getting their groceries and getting their medicines. Very boring and bland. There's not a tremendous amount of culture. So to be like a half black Jewish kid growing up in like this weird, it's almost a fake town. There's something artificial about Boca. There's no history to it. It's just retirement communities.
I know what you mean. I drove through it the other day.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. But do you think like, were you bullied?
Oh, like, yeah, of course. I went to public school in Florida. I was always bullied. And I was a nerd. You know, I always got straight A's. I was in the gifted program. I was in the international baccalaureate program. So I wasn't athletic or cool. I was very nerdy. I looked like Steve Urkel for the first 20 years of my life.
Yeah, but you played bass and like you were good enough to get into, prestigious school.
Yeah, but Berkeley. Playing cello and tuba and bass wasn't like that cool for like jocks in Florida. So I felt out of place and misunderstood and frustrated, I think. That's where that comes from.
So, like, when you were in school,
yeah,
and you walked, you know, those fire boxes, the enclosed case that keeps the big hose?
Oh, yeah.
You walked right up to it and smashed your head right through it.
Yeah.
For a laugh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're also fucking putting your head through glass.
Well, I forgot that those things break. Yeah. Those little, like, fire hose break in case of emergency things. I thought it was just going to make a loud sound. So it wasn't totally my intention. But my friend Brooke was walking into the English building 9 in the morning. And I went, Brooke, check this out. Boom! And I bashed my head through. It sliced open my forehead. And I leaned back. And then it sliced open the palms of my hand. Wow. And then in the moment, I didn't want to ruin the joke. So I just turned to her and I went, stigmata! And blood started pouring out of my... And there was a trail of blood all the way from the English building to the physics building. And I remember my... physics teacher was like, you got to get out of here. You got to go to the hospital, man. Get out of here.
Did you ever tell that story to your psychiatrist?
No, I don't think I've told that one. They know most of the deal, but.
Because they would say, you know, you really wanted to hurt yourself. Like, you know.
Yeah. I would never like really, I wasn't like a cutter or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Did you get laid in high school? Or were you completely?
I lost my virginity to high school, but I wasn't John Hamm.
Right.
Okay. All right. I was no smooth Don Juan Casanova.
Yeah,
High school and college. And then college, I went to a jazz school, which means it's 95% men. That's a real
good choice.
It was 95% men. There was three women there. So, like, college, it was like, if any of us got laid, we'd be like, I got laid. It was like our once a year, like, yeah, we got fucking laid. I can't believe it.
I can't believe you, with your ability to play instruments and stuff, you didn't get into a rock band. I know you had a band.
I was in some rock bands, but we weren't good. Yeah. We weren't attractive.
You still play? Can you still
play a little bit? I got an upright bass and I play it a little bit. I slap at the bass a little bit, but not at the level I was at college.
Did word get back to you when Lizzo was on? She had wonderful things to say about you.
I didn't realize. Her.
Yeah. Now, I asked her about it, and I remember when she was on your TV show.
Yeah.
Before Lizzo was a big name.
Yeah.
Like, you befriended her. How did you meet Lizzo?
She met through my director. Kitao was friends with her, and I was just always hanging out with her at Kitao's house. We would just be like cooking food and shooting the shit, and then like we just looked up one day, and she's like an international superstar. Now she's like an icon. She plays like soccer stadiums in South Africa. It was really overnight. It was bizarre. Lizzo, it's incredible. She's incredibly talented.
Yeah, but like, so Lizzo was a friend. Like, yeah. not the Lizzo we know now. She was just a woman, you know, who, did you even know she was into music? I mean,
I knew she was doing music, yeah. But like, it didn't break for her yet. And then it was just like, she did the BET Awards and she's just so talented and charismatic and unique. And she could play the flute like at this like virtuoso level, like multi-talented. That she just blew up from there. And I saw her at the Forum a few months ago, and she was
incredible. Did you ever jam with her back in the day?
I haven't jammed since I was like 19.
Really?
I retired from music school and graduated I retired from music and graduated from music school on the same day, pretty much.
I will never understand if you're that, you know, you're obviously very gifted as a musician, like to just give that up. Like, it's weird. Maybe it came too easy to you. Like,
no, it was just, there's no future in jazz music. It's like learning Sanskrit. There's like, like a dead language.
So play rock or some other.
Yeah, but I wasn't too much into like pop, and I couldn't compete at that level. You have to be like Lizzo level talented. I was a hobbyist, you know, like I didn't have that in me. You really have to shine like a star, and you have to be a multi-hyphenate, you know, to be at that level.
I don't know, you know what was really shocking? I said to Lizzo, you must be a huge fan of Jethro Tull. Ian Anderson played flute, in a rock band, and she had no idea.
Yeah, she goes, who the fuck are you talking about?
I turned around to Boré, and she was like, whoa, this is really good. It was crazy. I'm like, how do you not know that?
because she's like 29 yeah. years old.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how it works. And you know what? You know, sometimes I feel like I'm losing you to Hollywood because I saw you were at, there's a couple of things I saw on your Instagram. You went to Billie Eilish's 21st birthday
yep.
party
yep.
last year.
Yep.
And what was that like? Was that
weird? She's awesome. And she's so yeah. confident. She's like 20 years old and she has more confidence than any adult I've ever met. She just exudes confidence. It's crazy. And she's very
sweet. How'd you end up there, though? How do you get to Hobnob?
I don't know. I think a friend of a friend invited me, and wow. I found out she was a fan, and her brother's a fan, and I just keep
nice.
Running into them. And you'll never lose Gee. Me to Hollywood.
What about that? I saw that thing with Madonna where you're like...
That was total coincidence. Amy Schumer, who I've been friends with since we were broke, 20 years we've been friends, she invited me over to Guy O'Siri's house. And then out of nowhere, we're eating dinner, and he goes, you want to go next door and play Truth or Dare with Madonna? And we were all like, yeah. Fucking yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that'd be amazing. And then they were like filming it. We're like, you guys want content. All right. And then, but it was like, it was Madonna, so we couldn't say no. And then, but she was going for it. I mean, she had she had people, she was French, she French kissed Jack Black.
I was freaking out.
She was making people drink their pee and stuff. It was crazy. It was insane.
Well, man, that's awesome. Listen. You're hobnobbing. You're becoming very, very big now. You're hanging with Madonna, Billie Eilish, Ed Sheeran. That was kind of nuts. How did that... I saw that thing where you guys, like, play golf on the street. Like, you hit a box into a garbage can with a golf club.
That was completely random, too. Yeah.
Jeez.
My good friend Benny Blanco and Ed make music together. So they're always partying. Whenever Benny's in New York, you know, we end up partying with Ed. And
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, the new season is great. I love that new sidekick you got, Felipe.
Yeah,
I like that guy.
I
Very
love
funny.
Him. Felipe Esparza. He's brilliant.
I like the new character, Fridge Keeper.
Thank you. Fridge Keeper shout out. Thank you.
Fridge Keeper shout out. I really like him. Fridge Keeper is, remember the old horror show? The
Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt. They had the Crypt Keeper. Eric's got the Fridge Keeper, and he's a skeleton that hides in a refrigerator.
Yeah,
or
whatever.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a cold episode. We wanted to do like a specialty episode, and instead of doing a Christmas episode or a Halloween episode, we're like, let's just do a cold episode where everything's cold, whatever.
All right. I asked you one. I realized, would you do this prank? We were in the middle of it.
Oh, yes.
Let me do this quick because I don't want to keep you all morning. But
no, that's okay.
So you wouldn't drink your own cum, but you've drinking your own piss.
Yeah.
Would you get ass implants?
As
a bit.
I don't think
good
so.
Good one, right? It'd be good, though.
It'd be good. I already have a pretty juicy ass. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that.
Yeah, but it'd be so funny if you have big, gigantic
ass. It would be
ass
funny, but the infection might not be so funny. All the right. blood infection.
Would you try sneaking across the United States-Mexican border wearing a gigantic sombrero as a bit?
Sure, why not?
You like it?
Yeah,
but look, I just saw your eyes light up. I think you're going to do it. You can, by the way, you can have any one of these.
Oh, thank you. I got to meet you in my writer's room.
Would you dip your balls in fire ants?
Oof, that's nuts. I think that's like Steve-O's jurisdiction.
Right.
Depending on what it was for, yeah. Like if they made another Jackass movie, I would muster up the courage to do it.
Wow.
I can't do it as well as those guys, but I think if I was there, I would have to.
You hate getting tasered. Johnny Knoxville keeps tasering you on that new show.
Yeah,
but
tasering's rough.
For your own show, would you take a taser to your penis?
No. I took a taser to my neck and quit a show, so I would say that a taser to the penis is the only thing worse than the neck.
Would you eat regurgitated stovetop stuffing? Yeah, you would do that.
So who vomited it? If I vomited it, sure. If somebody else vomited it, it would depend on who vomited.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah, no, but Billie Eilish vomits it.
Billie Eilish. Would you drink a glass of horse cum?
Oh, nah, cum is rough. Cum is rough. It's too sticky. It doesn't go down so easy.
Would you jerk off a donkey?
All right, maybe.
Would
I
you jerk
off a donkey? I drink donkey cum.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Donkey cum I drink.
Okay, here's a good one.
Yeah.
Would you let a guy finger your asshole? Would you let a guy finger your asshole while skydiving?
I wouldn't skydive.
Is it the proctologist or is it?
It's just a random dude fingering you.
If he's got lube, I'd consider it. But
yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Yeah,
I mean, it is funny.
You know those formations when they jump out of the plane and then they come together? That would be a finger in the asshole.
Yeah.
But if you skydive away from him, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Would you? Okay, this is serious. I hope the answer is no to this, or else I'm going to have you committed. Would you play Russian roulette?
No, just in general, like deer hunter style.
Right.
No, I mean, what's the bit for?
ABC.
For Eric Andre's show, baby. No.
All right, here's the last one. Here's a good one. And I think you would do this. I mean, actually take the bit and you can have it. Would you stage an abortion on the streets of Texas?
Oh my God.
I see that the next season on the Eric Andre show?
Oh, that's so hardcore, great. Man. Yeah, I guess I have to now.
Now you have to do it.
Yeah.
It's weird. I was talking to a guy who went to Fist Fest or something, and he takes like 20 loads in his ass. And I'm talking to him this morning, and one of the things they do there now is they get these little baby, like they're...
Fetuses, he said.
Yeah, like little fetus, like not puppets, but little fetus dolls, and they stick them up their ass. And then, push them out so they can experience childbirth.
Wow.
Would you do that for your show?
Yeah, anal birth? Sure. I mean, in solidarity? Why not? I'm skydiving into Texas, no less.
Would you wear an I Love 9/11 shirt to an airport? I hope not.
I don't know.
I don't think you will.
I don't want to get on a no-fly. I got enough problems at the airport.
Would you go to Russia wearing a fuck Putin t-shirt?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't go to Russia wearing a regular t-shirt, let alone.
Would you take a crap in a toilet at a Home Depot?
Yes, that's a classic.
Yeah, you would do
Donald
that.
Glover, that, I think, did that. Childish Gambino, I believe, did that. Or his friend.
You
did
mean
that.
One that's just on display at home?
Yeah,
yeah, no, well, yeah, yeah. It's not attached. Right.
Yeah.
You would do that.
Yeah.
Would you box Mike Tyson for a stunt?
No way.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What am I? Nuts?
Would you fight a puma?
No, I don't like the animals. Animals right. are not. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I don't like.
Let's stick. Right. Let's stick to anal birth and
anal birth stuff. Would be that'd be good for you. I'm telling
let's stick
you.
Stick to the classics.
That'd be good on the streets of Texas.
I think you would go to next level if you gave birth. Or you practice an abortion in Texas, or
maybe an anal abortion in Texas.
That's what about going? What about dressing up in drag in Saudi Arabia as a stunt?
I would love to see that. However, I don't want to be beheaded by a diplomat out there.
You're such a pussy. No wonder Johnny Knoxville is having trouble.
I'm getting soft in my old age.
Well, anyway, you're up to some very funny things. A new season.
Thank you, sir.
By the way, I just wrote the new season of your show, and you can say thank you to me later. Eric Andre, season 6 of the Eric Andre Show.
That's right.
It's funny. Debuts June 4th on Adult Swim. You can always hear Eric on SiriusXM's Netflix is a Joke radio. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
You're really, no wonder you're with Billie Eilish. Who's on your radar next? What celebrity will you date next?
You've had Michelle Obama. Is what
really?
Yeah. I think if I can date Michelle, if I can get her to break up with Barack, then maybe people will start thinking I'm attractive.
Serious question, Eric. Do you think you could be married one day with a family? Or is it probably
I think
not?
So. I think it's time.
Really?
Yeah.
You're getting the urge.
I'm getting
Look
the itch.
At you. Maybe kids.
Maybe. Kids is a big responsibility.
Are you up to that?
I think so.
Can you still do this and be a dad?
I think so.
Okay.
Are you in love now?
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's fabulous. When did this happen?
I'm dating Meghan Markle.
I knew it. I knew it. Is her husband pissed?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know, and we're going to keep it that way.
No,
I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out with
somebody. So you're in love with someone?
I'm hanging. I'm getting to know somebody.
Are you in love with someone?
Howard.
So you're not?
I'm not saying either way. I just started getting to know somebody.
How long have you been in this relationship? When you say getting to know someone.
I'm hanging out with nice
I know
girl.
Who it is, by the way. I've already got
you
word.
You don't know. You don't
Oh,
know.
I do.
She's
I'll you say know, her name.
I
I'm going to say it. I don't care what you say. Here it is for my audience. It's Hoda Kotb.
It is.
I knew it.
We're keeping it a secret.
By the way.
We were waiting until next Valentine's Day.
You dressed up on Halloween as Hoda Kotb.
Yeah.
Thought it was fantastic.
Oh, thank you. She liked it, too.
You're in love.
I'm in love.
I you know why I like hearing that? Because
yeah.
I feel like you have such a wild existence.
Yeah.
The fact that you could open up your heart and be loving and be in a good relationship, I think it'll be good for you.
Yeah, you got to. You got to have that. A woman in your life brings you balance. Your life is out of balance without that in your life.
But is it dangerous for a guy like you who's, you know, very popular and famous because you can get a lot of different women? Is it hard to stay with one woman? Do you think you could focus yourself?
Is monogamy and long-term sexual exclusivity a challenge for human beings? It's challenging. It's challenging. It comes with challenges.
And I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why it's an extra hard challenge for you.
Yeah.
After you date someone publicly, like Emily Ratajkowski, and you go to a basketball game with her and all that stuff,
yeah.
and you're naked with her in this photo, that signals to other women that you have a scent on you, that you're the guy to get. I know because I was in college and I used to hang out with this hot chick. She wasn't doing me, but people thought she was doing me. And you should have seen for a while, I got some girls in college that were like really interested in me. And then when they dumped me as soon as they found out that girl wasn't my girlfriend. I was stupid. I go, she go, were you dating her? And I go, no, she's my friend. But goodbye.
You thought like she was co-signing you or something.
am I wrong, Eric, though, when I say after that became big news? Do you find now when you walk in the room, a different level of woman now looks at you?
I don't know.
The answer is yes.
I don't know, man.
I don't know what to say. Look at Pete Davidson.
Pete's doing chicks very well.
No kidding.
Yeah, so, he's on a tear.
You know Pete?
I met him once. He was lovely. I met him at the Gotham Comedy Club, like, a while ago, before he was blowing up, like almost 10 years ago, and he was a total sweetheart. I'm surprised we haven't crossed paths more often.
I know you tried to get on Saturday Night Live at one point in your career, many years ago, right?
Yeah, I submitted some shitty tapes to SNL.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, shitty, happy characters.
I'm going to send you some shitty tapes and let's see what happens. That's a good strategy. Don't send the good ones.
I'd send the shitty impression, shitty characters, never get the call.
But
still
you know
waiting.
What? In a way, what you always say is true. For you, those Saturday Night Live sketches go on a little too long. That's why your show is appealing, you know, to you, because you take a sketch and then chop it way down.
Yeah, the sketch is essentially only one joke, so you just want to set it up, hit the premise, and get out while they're still laughing. I think it's, plus my show's 11 minutes long, so what else can I do?
I'll leave you with this thought.
Yes.
On your next season
of
The Eric Andre Show, have on Pete Davidson and do a sword fight with him with your big cocks. The two of you just go at it. Like two gladiators.
Like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker with the lightsaber. Yeah.
When you were a kid, did you ever have a sword fight with another
With
kid?
My cock?
Like, yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's too bad you would have won. All right, listen. Yeah. Eric,
it's
always
time.
A delight.
Howard, thank
Season
you.
6 of The Eric Andre Show debuts June 4th on Adult Swim. I'm telling you, it's a good one. Here, Eric. On SiriusXM's Netflix is a Joke Radio, Channel 93, and who knew? Eric teamed up with Johnny Knoxville, Gabourey Sidibe, and Jimmy Kimmel. And they got something called the Prank Panel, premiering next week on ABC. Sounds like it's awesome. Eric's almost death sentence as he gets tortured by Johnny Knoxville. It sounds crazy. So I'm looking forward to that, I guess. I mean, I just want to watch you get tortured. In fact, I don't care about the rest of the show, quite frankly. Who cares if these people get their pranks on your panel? Two fucks. Sounds nutty. But, all right, listen, we'll see what happens. Yep. Eric, thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks so much. Right. Thank you,
good
Robin.
Good to see you.
Love you guys. Thank you.
A wonderful Eric Andre, who brought prostate karaoke to our show, which I'm eternally grateful for. So fucking great. It's so good. I played that the other day.
I love that. Seal Kiss from a Rose.
I have a clip of that. I don't think I have it. Shit. Hey, somebody put that up real quick. Let's play that. This is Eric getting an anal exam while he had to sing Kiss from a Rose. One of my favorite moments.
There used to be a great tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love
there it goes. Must have gone in.
Oh my god, I have to shit. Holy shit.
The fun never stops. All right, thanks, Eric. Eric Andre, everybody.
Appreciate it.
My man, Eric Andre. Love that guy. Love him, Robin.
There's that's nothing a guy, like prostate karaoke.
That's a guy you should have gone out with.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's way too crazy for me.
And too much? I don't know.
Yeah,
I like
way
you
too crazy.
I would have approved.
No, because, I mean, he's going to come home from that party, and he's got the nitrous oxide. And,
you're not up for that?
Whatever the hell else he drank and smoked that night, I can't deal with that.
Yeah, by the way, in case you weren't with us early in the morning, if you listen to the replay, JD and Blit went to Eric's 40th birthday party celebration. You got to listen to the tape of it. It's pretty fucking insane. I do want to mention something before we leave, Robin, that I'm especially excited about. I want to applaud our video team. Because you're a serious subscriber, there's a video special up on the app, the Stern Show Storytellers SNL Auditions. And I'm just telling you, it is so good. I watched it and I could not stop watching it. And what it is it features all my conversations with 25 former Saturday Night Live cast members about how they got discovered. But it's rapid fire, very much like Eric Andre style. The celebrity impressions they did in their audition, meeting with Lorne Michaels. I am always fascinated by stuff like that. And now it's on the Howard Stern section of the SiriusXM app, and I recommend it highly. Also on Howard 101 this weekend on Sunday brunch, we showcase our Three Stooges special hosted by Tom Bergeron. Cast members interviewed Fred Armisen, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Brewer, Dana Carvey, Pete Davidson, Jimmy Fallon, Tina Fey, Gilbert Gottfried, Bill Hader. Oh, this is for the, other thing. Guys, this is for the SNL thing. Never mind.
What?
They're making me shake it up.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what
you know,
I'm talking
about. You know, it's funny that, you know, you're doing that because last night I was watching Barry. That's the Bill Hader show. And I was thinking about your interview with him first, you know, when he was here about some of his great characters in Saturday Night Live. Yeah. So that's
yeah,
great.
You'll enjoy it. I recommend it highly. What does Ralphie Boy want? What do you want, Ralph? I got to go.
Hey, getting back to the guy this morning, you know, who's putting the fetus up his ass.
Yeah.
I can't get it off my mind. So I looked it up on Amazon to see if they have them. Of course they do. They're huge. They're like 10 inches. It's got an umbilical cord. It's just.
The guys who go to Fish Fest, Ralph, can put anything up their ass. They've had an entire arm up there, you know, a couple of people's hands and arms up there. And these guys.
How do you fit that? I mean, the thing is like 10 inches.
You got to be a pro. You got to be a pro.
Yeah, you don't do that the first time.
Nobody said.
You work your way into it.
You know, you're a horrible man, Ralphie. No one says childbirth is easy, and you got to suffer for it. I mean, I think it's insane. By the way, speaking of insane, Here's a guy named Gucci Berry. We talked to him before. Real quick, Gucci Berry. I know you've been on all morning. This is the guy.
How you doing, Howard?
This is the guy who goes on the internet and like injures his, like shoots himself in the balls with stuff. Tell everybody what you just did.
Well, I just took a compound bow and taped a spigot handle from an outside faucet and shot myself in the nuts with it for a swing to the sack Sunday.
Yeah, he took a bow and arrow, but instead of the arrow, he built like a metallic arrow and shot himself in the balls with it.
Wow.
And did you hurt yourself?
Nah. I've done it so many times, it's like a leather bag down there.
Yeah. And
he's grown a callus.
How do people find that video? On Gucci Berry, what? What is your tag?
I'm Gucci Berry.
All right. Why Gucci Berry? Is that your nickname?
I have a Gucci Bean tattoo of an ice cream cone on my face, and my last name is Waterberry.
Yes, what on his face?
Ice cream cone tattooed on his face. And I guess he's trying. Are you trying to be like a Johnny Knoxville or Eric Andre type character?
More homage to the guys because, you know, I can't be them, but, you know, hey, I could be myself at least.
You know this guy, Wolfie, right?
Yeah. Howard, he told me this story. They dropped a full-size Mercedes tire onto his balls, and he completely destroyed his lower back, like severe back injuries from these stunts.
Can you stick a fetus up your ass?
If you can do that, we might hire you. Nothing in the asshole.
Howard, I have a video of that anal baby if you want to see what it looks like. It's
I think I do. Wait, let me think about it before I put that into my mind. You've got video of a guy taking a baby, essentially the size of a doll, sticking it up his ass and then shitting it out, like pushing it out like a...
Yeah, I just have the part where he's giving birth to the silicone anal baby. I have that.
How do you have that?
Stefan sent it to me.
Oh, shit. Let me think.
I'm definitely not curious to watch that.
Should I watch that? Gucci Berry doesn't want to watch that. If Gucci Berry, who gets shot in the nuts, didn't you have like a BB gun fired into your nuts once?
Actually, twice. Once in the sack, once in the head of the dick.
Oh!
And didn't you have a bowling ball dropped on your nuts from a rooftop?
Yes, I did. 13 feet up in the air, yes.
And you're telling me not to watch this baby doll come out of this guy's asshole? And I'm not doing it. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't know. I mean, this guy knows something because...
Hey, Wolfie, how big is it? Is it like a baby or is it like a fetus? Is it small or is it pretty big?
It's more fetus than baby size, but it's rough. I saw the babies just breaching and I stopped. I couldn't make it all the way through, but as a group, I think we could do it. If we all watch it.
We all hold hands, we can watch it together.
Well, here's what happens to me. I'm on the radio and I'm like, oh yeah, man, I'll watch that. And I'm like, yeah. And then I get off the radio and then for the rest of my life, it's lodged in my head watching this doll come out of some dude's asshole.
I haven't loaded in the chat. Can I send it to Jason at least in the chat so he can see it?
Like, can you put it up now if I say yes?
All I have to hit is this button, and it's. Well, I mean, I can't. I don't have the ability to put it out to you right now, but I could send.
Well,
it to
send
Jason.
It to Jason in case I decide yes. Yeah,
I'm saying, Howard, chat. You've seen. You know, you've watched the birth of babies.
Yeah, I have.
It can't be any worse than that.
Yes, it is.
I don't know, guy. And when you say it's a fetus, like a. A 7-month fetus or like a 3-month fetus?
I would say maybe 6. I'm going to go 6.
It's Howard, big. The one I'm looking at on Amazon is 5 months and it's pretty big.
Yeah. How many inches does it say?
10.
Why did they sell that on Amazon?
I don't know, man. It's got a umbilical cord on it and everything. It's just really bizarre.
So what you're saying is it's a 10-inch fetus, and it's got an umbilical cord. The guy shoves it up his ass and then shits it out.
Yes, I think people say the reviews are like doctors use them or such, teaching tool for ultrasound.
To shit them out of their ass, Robin.
They have this other one that's from...
You know, when you go to medical school, it's very rough. And sometimes as a stress reliever, it's nice to shit out a fetus. Now, hold on a second. Jason is here to tell me that he strongly recommends I don't watch this. What do you mean?
This was the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I know people say, really? Like, ew, I want to throw up, but, like, I fucking want to throw up right now.
Tell me what you saw. Describe what you saw.
There is a man wearing some sort of cod piece with his feet up over his shoulders and his ass gaping. And you watch another man shove a doll about, like you said, about 8-10 inches long into his gaping asshole to the point where you can't see the doll anymore. And all you see is gaping. It totally disappeared in there. And when he removes his hands from his ass, this juice and gel and whatever is like stringing out like spider webs.
You know what it's like? It's like loading a cannon. Really? Yeah.
And then he takes...
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. I saw... Here's some of the... I'll name the worst videos I've ever seen. When R. Bud Dwyer shot himself on video, that freaked me out. And also the beheading video of that journalist over in Iran or wherever the fuck it was. And let me hang up on Gucci, Barry, because Gucci, turns out you're not that outrageous. Hold on. Take care, buddy. All right. It's funny. Gucci Berry wanted to shock us by telling us that, you know, he's dropping things on his nuts and shooting himself.
Or he
with
shot himself with a bow and arrow made of metal or something.
Now we're like, cool. Gee, I wonder if I should watch a guy shit out of fetus.
Howard, I've never seen the either video you described, but nobody dies in this. And so you're not, so I would say this is not as bad because, you know, I mean, you're not watching
somebody
lose
their
life.
I saw that R. Bud Dwyer. That's pretty bad, but this sounds worse. I don't know if I'd watch it.
I think I'm going to. Robin, what do I do?
I've seen a lot of... See, I've watched operations on human beings, real live human beings, inside the operating room. I've seen lots of childbirth. I've had a patient die in front of me from a ruptured aneurysm. I've seen a lot of stuff.
You think you can handle it?
What? I think I can handle it.
Do you think I could handle it?
I think you've got a pretty strong stomach. Because there are things that have happened
Robin
on this show I didn't want to see.
Robin, you watch it first.
Is there a way Robin can watch it first and then decide if I should see it?
Yeah, turn off your screen, Howard.
Can I? All right, I'm going to close my eyes.
All right.
Right. When I say three, I'm going to close my eyes and then you'll show it to Robin, all right?
Okay.
All right. Okay. One, two, three. What the fuck is going on?
It's the worst.
Tell me when it's over.
Oh, come on. You can watch this.
Oh, yeah?
That is hysterical.
All right. Jason, she says it's hysterical.
Robin's crazy.
This is hysterical.
You ready, Howard?
All right. Wait a sec. Let me sit up. Hold on.
Buckle in, Howard. Buckle in. Right.
I got to eat lunch after this. All right. Let me have it.
Good luck.
Holy fuck. Fuck. Oh my God in heaven. Oh my God. Oh, this is unbelievable. What is it? Oh my God. All right. Okay. Robin, turn that off. Are you crazy? I'm never going to unsee that.
I told you she's crazy.
Who can I boycott for running that? I thought you were my friend.
Look, if you've seen those women shooting ping pong
balls, how bad is it?
What's going on? It's pretty bad. I mean, first of all, the guy's ass, once they get the baby in there, then his asshole looks like it's talking to you. It starts throbbing.
It's like breathing. It's like...
You've watched Alien, if you've watched a lot of these horror films, you've seen worse.
I just threw up.
You know what's really wild too? The umbilical cord thing looked pretty wild coming out.
Howard, Stefan was telling me they also have one that's like Avatar. It's a it's this like device that you stick in the guy's ass, and then it pumps alien eggs into your ass.
Oh, like Jesus.
With slime, and then you shoot out the alien eggs. Like I,
yeah, Fred
I
has know. That one.
I don't know who's buying that, but it exists.
Fred, did you see that? We have to try that, you and me. I want you to have my baby. Yeah. All right, I don't know where Fred is. Anyway, Ronnie liked the video. Ronnie, you like that?
It was funny. I mean, I expected funny. Something like really crazy and disgusting.
I do it to myself all the time.
I thought it was funny.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Can Fred, I see
did you
it?
Watch it? Did
I
you
need see to it, Fred? See it.
I could not watch it.
I'll send it to you, Ralph.
Right. I couldn't watch it.
All right. Well, you'll get it, Ralph. All right. Later. Ralph, goodbye.
Did he
hey,
see
everybody.
Any of it, or he just refused to watch?
Who, Fred?
Refused to watch.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't know what he missed.
You know what?
From the
you'll
description.
Get it tonight.
From
when tonight, Jason I'll said, be trying that on
when
him.
Jason
you're going to be
says,
naked.
Don't watch it. I take Jason at his word.
Gary looks sick. Like, look at Gary's face.
Loved it. What'd you fucking loved it. I thought it was the most hysterical thing in the world.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, so, everyone's so talking insane. A good game now, but I know what's going to happen to me. I already now have that imprinted on my brain, and I know I'm going to go upstairs and I'm eating, and I'm going to see that guy's asshole with that baby flying out of it.
I imagine much worse. If you can, I know. It's
yeah,
insane.
So I'm upset. Did I. So did I.
All right. Listen, gang. Thank you, Eric Andre. Watch Storytellers SNL auditions on our app. Go to Stern Show on the app. Dave Matthews will be here soon. There's a lot to look forward to, Robin. God bless you, and thank you for making me watch that. I'm forever scarred.
You've made me watch a lot of things I never wanted to see.
Fair enough. We're even. See you next time. Bye.